If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Woo! Let's go! Keep up that intensity! Let's go! Let's go!
Is there anyone hotter than Lisa May? Is there anyone hotter than Lisa May? When I hear her voice, with myself I want to play. Is there anyone hotter than Lisa May?
No, no, no!
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
Oh, yeah, that's so terrific.
Boy, God, this weather, I swear. Drive carefully, and when you go through those puddles, pump your brakes a little after you go out of the puddle. Kind of keep them together.
This reminds me of that old saying. You idiot!
Why do you gotta be so insensitive all the time?
And now, it's like to fall in the mud and get kicked in the head by an iron boot. Of course you don't. No one does. It never happens. Sorry, Ted, it's a dumb question. Skip that.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, party people. It is now 5:31. Welcome to Monday, the 3rd of Double December.
Boobs.
Why do I not see the monkey? Where the hell is... Where's Blondie?
My God.
He's on the phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I gotta tell you.
Yeah?
This week, Saturday night, Linkin Park was fantastic. Last night, Muse got off stage maybe at about midnight. Silver Sun
Kevin, that was...
were great.
No, no, that's...
Ooh,
that's,
was great.
That's next
but,
weekend.
But then we went out and we partied and
Kevin?
I got in late. And, oh,
Kevin, that
God.
didn't happen. That's next weekend is the Acoustic Christmas show. I don't know where you were this weekend, but that show hasn't happened yet.
All of those bands didn't play?
No. And you didn't go out afterward.
Hmm.
Think you
all right.
Just overslept?
Odd.
What?
That's odd.
Now, most people, when they're late for school or work as much as you are, they spend a lot of time, okay, before I make this phone call, what am I going to say? What am I going to come up with? What's my excuse going to be? It's got to be believable. It's got to be something I haven't used before, and I'm sure you've got a little cheat sheet where you write down what all your reasons are. What have you come up with for us today?
I just gave it to you.
That was it?
But we could fact check that.
Yeah,
that was too easy. You need something like your kids are playing in the car and pulled some wires off by accident or something, and then your car wouldn't start.
Something we can't, you know, like Lisa said, something
okay.
We can't fact check.
All right, listen, I'll go with that. Someone pulled wires off my car. I'm
okay,
so
but
angry with them.
But it doesn't work if Lisa has already suggested it to you. That's too much of a coincidence.
So don't use that one. Okay.
All right.
You got to something on your own is what we're saying.
Something on my own. Okay.
I don't think Kevin lets his kids play in the air conditioning panel, by the way.
Internet global warming.
All right. So it's Al Gore's fault. That's fine.
Okay.
By the way, Lisa was just – hey, how close are you, by the way, Kevin?
I'm very close.
Okay.
Okay.
He's in the parking lot.
Because if you want to, when you get in the parking lot, you can just come in if you want. Lisa was just saying right before we went on, and we must talk about this, and I know we have some highlights coming up next hour from the girls, but how drunk was our crowd on Friday morning down in Fullerton?
Oh, my God. I'm not sure that I've had a drunker remote before, have we?
I don't know. Maybe St. Patrick's Day, but... barely. I mean, everybody was drunker than I've ever seen. And earlier, too, by like 7 o'clock, everybody was smashed.
Yeah. Well, part of it was that they were there before we got there. They were already there drinking, I think, when we walked in to start the show.
Yeah.
Which usually
isn't
the case.
The pageant and coronation for the Miss Double December 2007 that occurred on Friday. And congratulations to lovely Cassidy, who won, by the way, who I think is going to be a fantastic Miss Double Day. I think she's going to be great.
Yeah.
And if you go to KROQ.com, by the way, you can see, if you have not yet, you should watch her video of her appearance on KROQ when she came in on the show last week, where she invited Psycho Mike to squeeze her boobs, which he proceeded to do. And she's a goer. That's what I love about Cassidy. She's a goer.
She's going to be fun.
She's going to be great.
More of a scientific thing. She was just proving that they were real.
Right.
Proving they were real, right, of course, which I think was the right thing to do. But it wasn't just the crowd. Alex, who was the model wrangler, was telling us how tough it was to keep the girls from getting smashed.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, there was one girl in particular who was refusing to stop drinking, and she's getting way drunk, and she started drinking, you know, sneaking drinks behind Alex's back, and then at the very end, when they were parading in front of us and we were picking the last three, she turned around to me and grabbed my glass and said, "Are you going to drink that?" I was like, oh my God.
She was just grabbing random drinks off the table.
I think we had a budding alcoholic. It's probably good that she didn't win.
Was it Miss Congeniality? Is that who you're talking about, Lisa?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I thought. Great group. Great group of chicks this year, though. I got to tell you.
Absolutely.
It was really a fun event, and I'm happy with the choice that the K-Rock listeners made, and I know that Lightning Scorsese is working behind the scenes on trying to get some video together that he can get up on the site today, so you can actually see more of the pageant if you weren't able to on Friday.
It's worth watching.
It was a good time.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
Anyway, so we have the highlights from the Miss Double December pageant. We do have there's some fantastic answers from some of the girls that if you missed those in the question and answer section, if you missed those because you weren't able to listen on Friday, you will love it.
I've never really heard of the angry one before. Have you guys ever seen that before?
No.
I thought one of our Miss Double December contestants was going to go into the crowd and start beating people up.
Because they didn't vote for her.
It was awesome. Also on the program today, we got a lot of other good stuff, including Ralph's Holiday Video Vault today. We've been talking about doing this for a while. We finally have time to squeeze it in today. Really one of the all-time classic Christmas movies, and not in a good way. Ralph is going to walk us through the legendary Santa Claus Conquers the Martians on today's Kevin and Bean Show, by the way.
Yep. Oh, that's exciting.
Which, of all the Christmas movies that you watch every year when they come on, if you're a Miracle on 34th Street or you're the Santa Claus or whichever one you like, this is the lowest budget of all of them, and it shows. So he's got that for you. Tonight is the final Heroes for a while and the end of the story arc that they've been working up toward, and we're going to talk to Allie Larder on the program today. Yes.
Yeah.
Just after 7 o'clock, we got Allie on the program today.
Now, wait a minute, AB, do you think that's because she's one of the two that will fall?
That's a great question.
Because that's what they said. That's the big tease is two heroes will fall.
Well, we can certainly ask and certainly won't get an answer. I know we got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Holidays are just around the corner. Maybe you've already blown the diet thanks to Thanksgiving. Psycho Mike is going to be here with the Psycho Body, and he'll tell you how not to gain 100 pounds over the holiday. And I have a feeling we're not going to appreciate any of his advice. I have a feeling that he's going to say things that are going to make sense. We're going to go, yeah, I should do that. And then we're going to go, screw it, it's Christmas.
Well, yeah. We know how he spent Thanksgiving. He had them baking sweet potato for him, so he couldn't indulge in the regular sweet potato with sugar and stuff.
Yeah, but I told you that I did it imbibe cranberry cider and pumpkin pie the night before at my alternative gay Thanksgiving.
Ooh, you went crazy. My gay friends. My God, how did you manage?
I don't know. Believe me, it was a lot of time spent over the toilet with my finger in my mouth.
Great. That's the kind of advice we want.
Yeah. That's going to be his answer, Bean. He's just going to say, to make yourself throw up. Thanks, everybody.
And savor the taste and then savor it coming back up to.
So that's your advice? That's what you tell your clients? Is that the way to handle the holiday eating?
Works for runway models.
All right. And also, and you heard us talk about it just a few minutes ago here on the Kevin and Bean Show, you know about this new Details Power 50 list that's out right now, in which Kevin Federline is number 7 for one of the most influential people in the world?
Yeah.
Well, apparently we have the editor of Details who's going to be able to explain to us how that decision was made. And we are going to find out where he is, and we are going to send over a small army of listeners with handguns.
Excellent.
And we're going to take care of it. Plus an update from Gerald and Linda Pauley up in North Dakota. You know, Gerald and Linda are the next president and first lady of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. We got a conversation with them planned for 6 o'clock. And, how about this? How about the K-Rock Almost Goose to Christmas? How about pit tickets? How about for both nights on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show?
Wow.
One person wins it all.
No kidding. So
that
That's
happens.
Nice.
One person gets both nights, which is really just going to wreck them. This is going to ruin somebody.
You think Kevin sounds bad?
Someone's going to have a heart attack when they realize that's what's happening.
That's so huge.
Anyway, for a Monday, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's not a bad little show, you guys. Mm-mm. Say it
well,
seems like
wait,
when we try
let's
it.
Wait and see how it goes before we pat ourselves on the back.
Good point.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm sure Pittsburgh-Miami looked like a good football game on paper, too, before last Monday night. Sometimes you just don't know. Anyway, all of that plus the Ralph Showbiz Beat, which is right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. Monday morning, Lofa Tutupu is here with the Showbiz News. Good morning, Lofa.
See, Bean saying that because that's the defensive cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks, who caught like three interceptions off of A.J. Feely yesterday in the Philadelphia Eagles.
He was
lost
the one-man wrecking
Seahawks.
Crew yesterday.
That be knows
no,
how
A.J.
To...
Feely was the one-man wrecking crew yesterday, throwing into triple coverage every chance he got.
Ooh, triple coverage. I can throw there.
Oh, this will be really impressive if I squeeze this pass in to three defenders, to Greg Lewis, a third-string receiver. See if he can come up with an amazing play. Oh, no? What a surprise. A.J. Feely? It's got more interceptions than touchdowns right now?
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh. Could not have been a tighter or more exciting game that went right down to the final 30 seconds, though.
Yeah. As long as you don't mind throwing a pick to end the game.
Yeah, that's a tough way to lose right there.
First of all, last week against New England, first pass he makes, interception, return for a touchdown. Yesterday, first pass he makes, interception, return for a touchdown.
Wow.
Against New England, 10 yards in for the go-ahead touchdown to win the game, throws a pick. Yesterday, 13 yards away, throws a pick, ends the game.
Wow. Wow. That would suck if he's your quarterback. Imagine
the first
anybody
time
that's an
all
Eagles
season,
fan.
First time all season, Philadelphia fans are actually screaming for Donovan McNabb to get back in the game. Oh. That's how bad
that's
things
desperate.
Are.
Yeah. My God.
Yeah, it was a bad day yesterday.
The Seattle defense looked good, though, keeping them out, you know, right up on the goal line a couple of different times.
I mean, spotted you 14 points in picks.
Of course, yeah, that helped, but I'm saying it could have, you know, we still could have easily lost that game is what I'm saying, but I think the defense really rose to the occasion.
Oh, shut up.
The defense plus the Eagles quarterback.
Yeah, plus he gave you
certainly.
14 points to start.
Never
won by four.
Relax. Never hurts.
Relax. Relax. Relax.
So you're happy about the way it went?
Couldn't be happy.
All right, good.
Just it's a great, great Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office, shall we? Daily Variety tells us that Enchanted, as expected, came in at number one again this weekend, made an additional $17 million. Not a lot of money at the box office, but good enough to make it number one by far. Number two at the box office was This Christmas, the story of a rodeo clown who has been a paraplegic for over 20 years.
And that theme song is great.
Celebrates his Christmas by playing harmonica and teaching all the little kids how not to get run over by a bull.
This is
very entertaining.
Wow, this is the movie surprising. Where black people celebrate Christmas. That's what this one's about.
Nope, it's about a rodeo clown.
Oh,
who has been a paraplegic for over 20 years. Now, you'd think by now the music would kick in. You really would think.
Oh, I thought you had done the whole
kind of vamp. You think eventually someone would get a clue and play a little taste.
This Christmas.
There we go.
I've been a paraplegic now for more than 20 years.
See, that's the song.
That says Christmas right there.
The theme to This Christmas.
He can barely blow into that.
Yeah. Well, he's a paraplegic.
I know.
Give him a break.
I'm just saying.
Does he have harmonica headgear?
$8.4 million it made at the box office this weekend. Beowulf was number three. Awake, the new medical drama starring Hayden Christensen and Jessica Alba. By the way, those three things, drama... Jessica Alba, Hayden Christensen should never be in the same sentence.
Yeah.
Mm. $6 million. Made
You're not talking
debut.
Smack about Alba, are you?
Look, love her. Just she's at her best when she's running Naked. Around, scantily clad. Some sort of action-adventure type scenario.
What's the word on that? Is it supposed to be any good?
Nope. Okay. Hitman was number five. I caught Hitman over the weekend.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Real good.
That's what I
in
thought.
In terms of like a popcorn actioner, good times. Although, oddly... very badly dubbed, I found. Did you notice that as you were watching it?
No, I didn't notice. No. The words were off with the mouth?
Yeah. Apparently, I don't know, they filmed it in Russia or something, and I'm guessing some of the performances weren't up to snuff, so they went back and re-recorded them. And it just was really odd to see the detached way they sort of
like an old
everything.
Kung Fu movie?
Yeah, it was. Just a hair, everything was just a hair off. It was odd. But the action was outstanding.
Good Have times. You ever seen a hotter chick with a tattoo on
face?
Her face?
No, sir. She's a tall drink of water.
In that slim category?
That young
a
lady.
Tiny category, but she's hot.
And Timothy Olyphant, just a badass, is that Agent 47. Good times.
My favorite thing about Hitman is that all of the Hitmen look exactly the same. They're all bald, and they have a giant barcode across the back of their head.
Well, that's the thing. The organization raises them that way from kids and kind of pumps them out as these nameless... You know, assassins.
Right, but once you realize that's true, you see a guy with a bald head and a barcode, you just pick him up
because
he's
shooting guys.
He's a
hitman with barcodes.
Yeah, it's like they're just saying, "Hey, it's me, everybody."
Yeah, I wonder what you get if you scan him. I was waiting for somebody to bring up one of those scanners from the supermarket and see what he was.
See what he costs.
Velveeta, $2.99. Very odd. Fred Claus was number 6 at the box office, then August Rush, No Country for Old Men, B-Movie, and American Gangster, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Ah, tragic news. I'll tell you, jumping buses is nothing compared to old age, man.
Oh, no.
That's the bitch.
Yeah.
Evel Knievel, legendary daredevil, passed away over the weekend. When I was a little kid, one of my heroes. I had the Evel Knievel playset. I had the ramp and the bike that used to jump over stuff and everything. It was way cool.
Did you have him just crash every time?
I did, yeah. Much like Evel himself.
Uh-huh.
By the way, Evel Knievel still holds the Guinness Book of World Records record for breaking the most bones.
Oh, can you imagine what that would feel like every day when he got up?
Oh,
they said he had a morphine pump surgically implanted into his back because of his excruciating lower back pain.
Oh, man.
He broke his back 4 times.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Broke about 40 other bones in his body. I'm sorry, broke his back 7 times. My bad.
Oh,
dude.
Passed away from a combination of lung disease, hepatitis, and diabetes. Apparently,
I'm shocked. He also had every disease known to man.
Yeah. I'm shocked he lived as long as he did, because you guys remember on one of his son's specials years ago now, they showed him during the special watching Robbie Knievel try to make one of his jumps, right? And then he looked like he was about 15 minutes away from death.
Yeah. He was 69 years old, which isn't that old, but if you break your back 7 times and have 40 broken bones and have hepatitis C and diabetes and
he had a liver transplant.
Lung disease.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lengthy.
It was a walking miracle for all that time.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because just last week he settled a lawsuit he had with Kanye West.
What?
I don't know if you ever saw the Touch the Sky video, but Kanye appears as...
Oh, that's right.
As Evel, Kanye Evel.
He wears the same jacket or whatever?
Yeah, he comes out in the same jumpsuit that Evel always wore, and so Evel sued him, and they just settled it last week, so there you go.
And then Kanye had him killed, or...?
Right. Kanye West doesn't like white people.
I am the number one human being in music. Uh-huh. That means any person that's living or breathing is number 2.
Okay.
Jennifer Love Hewitt wants us to kiss her fat ass.
Uh-oh.
Apparently she's very angry at the fact that we all made fun of those pictures of her in Hawaii in her bathing suit showing off her voluminous butt.
Oh.
She said she's not fat.
Yeah.
She's a size 2.
She is?
Nope.
That's pretty porky.
Two. She's a size 2.
That's what she says. Size 2 is not fat.
No, I have not. One thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
She says on her website, what I should have been doing is celebrating some of the best days of my life and my engagement to the man of my dreams instead of having to deal with photographers taking invasive pictures from bad angles and everyone talking about my weight.
But shouldn't she have thought about that before she was fat?
To all girls with butts, boobs, hips, and a waist, put on a bikini. Put it on and stay strong. You go, girls.
Okay, sister.
All right, then.
We'll unite.
Okie dokie.
Everybody except Brittany.
Yeah. Sorry about making fun of your weight there, J-Lo.
Put it on, but then wear a towel around your waist is what we're saying.
As you know, every time a musical closes, Lisa May cries a single tear.
What closed?
Just a month ago, in London's West End, they opened the musical version of the movie Desperately Seeking Susan.
How could that not work?
I'm okay with that.
Producers have closed the show. It was an adaptation of the 1985 film that Madonna starred in with Rosanna Arquette. And all the songs were in it were Blondie songs. What could go wrong there?
Yeah.
Wait.
That isn't good for you.
No Madonna song.
No, Blondie songs. They took Blondie's music and they put it to the story of Desperately Seeking Susan.
Sounds like they had about 4 different ideas and they just threw them all together.
You know, like ABBA did that movie with all that musical with all their songs? Let's do a Blondie musical. Yeah, but no one will go see that. Okay, we'll tack a movie onto it, too.
Pretty much.
Yeah, no one's interested. Tila Tequila's in the news. You guys heard about this?
Why?
An insider at MTV is spilling the beans about this whore, saying that... The whole Tila Tequila Shot of Love show may be a giant put-on.
Oh, really? What a surprise that would be.
She's not really bi at all. In fact, the source claims, she's had a boyfriend for over a year and refuses to break up with him. She's made out with some girls in the past, as all girls have, but she's not bi at all, claims the insider. That's why they're continuing the show, but not with her as host next season, according to a source close to the production.
Well... Somebody probably had the idea this is a new angle on a reality dating show, and she was game, so she said, yeah, I'll go along with it and play by, of course.
Her spokesperson, however, insists that it's on the up and up. I'll confirm that she's bisexual, and she's a delight to work with.
Liars.
She said.
I would like to see video proof.
That's what
I think it's the first time ever a spokesperson has confirmed someone being gay or bisexual instead of denying it.
Angrily.
Hey, she is bisexual. I will not have you say otherwise. Stop with all
you.
Those heterosexual rumors about my client. Very odd.
It's on TV. These on television.
What?
I'm having a stroke.
What?
Maybe you should have some coffee or something, Kev, before you start pushing the buttons. Maybe you should, I know he had
a
rough day.
It was in the middle of already playing
just
when you started
here. So. Everyone just relax. It's okay.
Go back out to the car.
What the hell's going on here?
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
And Britney Spears, who proudly owns two properties here in Southern California, has a new home away from home, as once again she checked into the Beverly Hills Four Seasons Hotel on Friday.
What the hell?
It's Britney, bitch.
Why does she do that?
I have no idea. She showed up Friday night with her bodyguards and a cart full of luggage in tow, reminding someone she was talking to on a cell phone to feed her dogs. Oh, yeah, and feed the kids, too, she should have added. Meanwhile, Federline's lawyers have subpoenaed Sam Lufty, this hanger-on dude who's always around her, to show up and testify in the custody battle. He's got his own problems, by the way. Apparently, on December 18th, he's got to face charges that he rammed his Mercedes-Benz into a vehicle driven by the subpoena server hired by Kevin Federline. So, the guy's got a lot of issues. But apparently, they believe he knows where all the bodies are buried regarding Britney's lack of skills as a mother, so they're going to put him up on the stand and see what he has to say. Good times. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ozzy Osbourne.
How about that?
Is 59 years old today. Ozzy's 59 is Evel Knievel's 69, by the way.
Yeah.
Just in case you're keeping track.
Yeah.
Daryl Hannah. One time she was a smoking hot actress. Remember her Splash? She was mermaid?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to get in that bathtub.
She was, I thought, very good in the Kill Bill movies, too.
She was? Is that one I brought? She's 47. Julianne Moore is also 47 years old today. Talented actress.
Love her.
Brendan Fraser, you know him from the Mummy movies. He is 39. Holly Marie Combs from Charmed.
Yes.
Played Piper on that show. She's 34. She was the nice one on Charmed. You may remember I did a few episodes of Charmed.
That's right.
As my recurring character, the DJ.
The DJ.
Yeah. You may remember my famous line. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the raspberries. No, the cranberries.
No. Some kind of berries.
One of the berries. I forget what band I produced. Ladies and gentlemen, please put together for Puddle of Mud. No, I forget who it was. Somebody else I introduced. Those were my lines. Bruno Campos from Nip Tuck. He was the slasher. He was the cutter. He was the slicer.
Right.
He was the guy. Yeah. He's 34 years old today. And remember little Brian Bonsall who played Andy on Family Ties? Remember Michael J. Fox's character?
Yeah.
Had a little baby brother, Andy. Oh, yeah. Never said anything because he was just a toddler.
Yeah.
26 years old today. That's our Andy.
His life peaked when he was 3.
Yeah, I think
is he in rehab?
He's in rehab. Yeah. Speaking of rehab, I've got a great rehab story about one of the American Idol contestants.
Oh, really? Good.
Involving good. Dr. Drew. You're going to like it. So stick around. Next hour, I'll bring that to you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All I'm saying is pit tickets to both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 show. That's Saturday and Sunday to see all the bands. That's what I'm saying that we're going to give away next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Plus, Ali Larder from the TV show Heroes is going to be joining us. All right, I don't know if you guys have been watching the CNN at all, but you cannot turn that channel on anymore with another goddamn presidential debate being on there. I'm so sick of these candidates already, and the election is still 11 months away. But the good news is I don't have to watch them because I've already made my selection on who I'm going to vote for next year. And he's on the phone right now, ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend Speaker, or the Speaker, what's he called?
Reverend Speaker, yeah.
Reverend Speaker Gerald Pauly, ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, and his lovely wife, the future First Lady, Linda Pauly, up there in Bismarck, North Dakota. Good morning, kids.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. I got a quick little announcement here.
Yes. All right, Gerald.
Okay. Evel Knievel landed at the gates of heaven on a motorcycle and cried out, "Well, that's a jump I thought I'd never make." Everybody roared with laughter, and the keeper of the gate said, "Come on in. Everybody's waiting for you."
Oh,
that's everybody a beautiful, that a beautiful sentiment.
That's good
he
news.
A grand appearance.
Did he wipe out at the gates like he did on almost every other jump?
Landing.
He made a good landing. Okay.
Hey, Mike, can you stop playing that for just a moment, please? We're trying to have a conversation here.
I want to make sure I do it justice, you know?
Right. Now, Mr. Pauly, before we get into the reason why we have you on today, which is your phenomenal new Christmas song that you have received from heaven to share with the world, I have to ask you, because I'm on your website right now, you have picked up an endorsement since the last time we spoke with you for your candidacy, correct?
Not that I know of. We've had some endorsements that we were afraid were fake and took down.
Okay, well, let me read what it says, and then you tell me what's going on. Gerald Pauly for President of the United States in 2008, proudly endorsed by the Insurance Information Center.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's our friends that have their,
you have friends?
Their insurance and car insurance and everything, sites on the Internet, which are very good, which
I see.
People praise.
Okay,
and,
so these are,
yeah,
these are friends of yours,
one
and
of
they...
our major supporters.
Right. They have thrown their support behind you. Okay, hey, there's no reason to, you know, there's no reason to shy away from that. I mean, an endorsement, you know, that's a snowball effect. You get one on there, next thing you know, you get other local businesses,
well,
and then you pick up steam.
We're emailing like crazy, trying to get more of them.
Okay,
as
well, you got us,
fact,
too.
We're in trouble for that.
What do you mean you're in trouble for it?
We're having trouble with some city councilor in Massachusetts that says it's illegal for presidential candidates to mail mayors and city councilmen about elections. He says that he's going to get us in trouble with the election commission and get us shut down.
Well, I know you don't have much of a staff, but you really should have somebody look into that because you don't want to be guilty of violating any of those election rules.
Definitely.
The Reverend Speaker Gerald Pauly, for those of you who don't know, does speak with God on a regular basis. God speaks through him.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also in contact with people in heaven at all times. And every once in a while, people in heaven will write a song and hand it down to either Gerald or his lovely wife, Linda, who, by the way, got, what did she get at the Miss Double D?
Fourth place.
Fourth place at Miss Double D.
Wow.
I'm sorry you didn't win, Linda. I'm sorry you couldn't be there on Friday, but you just missed the top three.
Yes, thanks. It was great. We watched on the Internet.
Oh, you did.
Oh,
robbed.
That's fantastic.
You were robbed.
You were robbed. I agree. Well, we weren't allowed to vote. It was all the listeners. Now, Linda, why don't you tell us about the new Christmas song, No Tears on Christmas?
Well, I guess it was a soldier came to John Lennon and Beatles and Friends and wanted a song written that had a message in it that his wife in the material world would immediately understand if she heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Kurt Cobain and George Harrison and Johnny Cash all worked on it.
So they all worked together and wrote this song. John Lennon, George Harrison, Kurt Cobain, Johnny Cash all got together in heaven.
Right.
And wrote this song, No Tears on Christmas. And according to your email, it sounds like you don't feel like maybe you could do it justice, so you want somebody that's a professional maybe to take it on.
Right.
Was the problem, Gerald, that the words are great, but you were having trouble finding the appropriate music to go with it?
Yeah, we had a hard time with the beat. It's kind of a rock gospel beat, and it's really lively, and it's kind of the traditional Christmas type thing, and we were having an awful hard time getting the music.
Okay.
This stuff is not as easy as people think it is.
I'm certain that's true.
Sit down and make this stuff up. Sometimes you have a great deal of difficulty getting it right.
Sure.
Now, we have a guy on our show, and you listen online, so you've heard of Psycho Mike, who works with us here at K-Rock. Right, guys?
Right.
He's in a couple of bands. He's a very accomplished musician, and we gave him your lyrics, or excuse me, John George, Kurt, and Johnny's lyrics over the weekend for him to work up an arrangement, and he's actually here in the studio with his guitar if you'd like to hear your song performed.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's give it a try. Psycho Mike, you ready?
I'm going to do my best to bring such illuminating lyrics, you know, do them their justice. But here we go, guys. Are you ready?
Okay.
Yeah.
No tears on Christmas.
Let's do this.
Hit it, Steve.
Got to keep it softer, Linda. You know, for Lisa May. I'm not alone on Christmas, no matter what they say. Though I've lost my warrior, I'll never be afraid. I know you are there waiting, there by heaven's gate. You say there is no hurry, and you will gladly wait. Pretty good, right? Verse number one.
Nice.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Chorus for your mother effing ear drums. I may be lost, but I'm not alone. Yeah. You're fighting with the Lord and soon you'll journey home. I know you'll be waiting at the gate for me. And
when I join you, I'll give you my dreams.
That's right.
The children, they don't understand why Dad ain't coming home. They see the presents waiting and they think they're all alone. See the presents waiting, but standing by the tree, they hear the laughter riding right along with me.
Cryptic.
It's nice.
Back of that chorus. I may be lost, but I'm not alone. You're fighting with the Lord, but soon you'll journey home. I know you'll be waiting there for me. And when I go to join you, I'll give you all my dreams. Give you all my dreams. Give you all my dreams. Ooh. Not alone for Christmas, no matter what they say.
That's right.
Okay.
That was touching.
Yeah. That's a good first pass. What'd you guys think?
I think that's awesome. A very good rendition.
Yeah. Very good,
good,
right?
Good collaboration right here.
Originally, it was like a little heavier, a little more metal. And, you know, last night I got a vision, I think, from the Beatles and Friends. And they really led me to make it that version there, the Pollies.
Hey, the Pollies, do these people like John Lennon, George Harrison, Kurt Cobain, Johnny Cash, if they know that Mike is working on the song, would they go straight to him and give him some direction?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I really feel like they did.
They picked up the vibrations. They'd take right off. Anybody that's trying to help, you know, they would give them all the support that they could give them.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
we'd love to get a recording of that made.
We'll send it over to you.
We'll be happy to, brother.
Yeah. It's on the way.
That one is called No Tears on Christmas, again, performed by Psycho Mike, written by Lennon, Harrison, Cobain, and Cash. Hey, Linda, if people want to check out what you and the Reverend Speaker are doing on the website, what's that website address?
www.voicesfromspirit.com.
All right, you guys. Best of luck to you. And if we don't talk to you again before Christmas, have a very, very happy holiday, okay?
You too.
You guys too.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
God bless.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Cake, also Serge Tankian straight ahead. What? No Glendale? No Glendale? What's going on here? Wow.
Not paying attention back there.
Okay. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. And don't forget, tickets in the pit for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. You can win in less than an hour from right now. First, though, Kevin and Bean Afro Line is up and on the air.
323-520-AFRO. We had a tiny problem with our Miss Double D contest on Friday.
Yes.
And the webcast, in that the camera was poorly positioned. Because it was right behind Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the cameraman had a little bit of a crush on Ralph, I think is what was going on.
But at least the K-Rock listeners were gracious about it.
Why in the f*** is Ralph standing between the camera and the hot chick? Man, you guys suck.
I'll tell you, one of the things that happened on Friday is that the runway, quote unquote, was about 4 inches square.
Right.
So Ralph had a really not much of an option there.
Yeah. We were in extremely tight quarters, and it was kind of difficult to film everything the way we would like to have, but we certainly did the best we could.
This guy, though, boils it down to exactly what it is we were interested in.
Boobs. God, I love boobs. That's why I put my face in them and just...
Well, we had a lot of those. Yeah.
Did have a lot of those, yeah, that's true.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on with Linus? We haven't heard from him, man. I'm worried. Was he a writer? Is he on strike?
Yes, Linus!
That is a great question. Producer Lighting, see if you can line Linus up to find out what Kevin's holiday plans are like and how they're shaping up.
You think I would be as bad as I am if I had writers?
I just know that the last time your wife stopped by the radio station a couple of weeks ago, she walked in and she said, Linus and I are just having a hell of a time wrangling Kevin lately.
How dare you all. Okay, this guy's working on his own stand-up. He's got voices. He's got a bit. So let's just give him a chance to work out his act.
Okay. Like, have you ever wondered what it would be like if, like, Chewbacca was ordering a Burger King? So how can I help you out today? So that's the number one. today.
That's really good.
I would pay to go see his act.
I would like to say I've never thought of Chewbacca ordering a Burger King. Mm-mm. That never entered my mind, no. This song is the song that refuses to die.
Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve. Shady things are gonna happen. What? Christmas Eve crooks outside my window. Christmas Eve crooks behind the tree. I wish that Santa could see, but I can't find him for the life of me. And it's Christmas Eve crooks outside my window pane. Jolly, 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 say Nick. Jolly, 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 jolly.
Okay.
How about that? There's a guy who listens to our show too much.
Yeah, the other day I was doing this mean Jerry Lewis impersonation for my girlfriend, and then suddenly my cell phone rang, and it was the president of France. He was all like, hey, I killed this chick. And I was all afraid I was going to get sued, and suddenly it all reminded me of something. I couldn't remember what it is. Do you guys remember what it is?
Nope. No idea what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Wrong show. You want to call Mark and Brian over at KLOS.
You might need to contact the man this year for the following question.
All right, so I just passed by Best Buy, and I picked up my new Kevin and Bean CD for the Oh, wait, no, wait, you guys didn't come out with that. But at least I could get my calendar for the new year. No, that either. Hey, you know what? It's cool, man. As long as I have Almost Acoustic Christmas. Damn it.
Yeah, we are getting an awful lot of phone calls and emails about the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD this year, and Kevin is right. He alluded to the man is keeping us down. Basically, they are scaling back. I think they're going to put their energies and promotion into the new show that starts in January, is the impression I'm getting.
Hi, this message is for Hulk Hogan. I'm just wondering, why do you think the value of the dollar is so low?
I don't know what you're talking about, brother.
And finally.
Kevin, he did it again. Nice. Nice wide-angle lens. Kevin. Oh, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay, we were talking to the great Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock from TV's Star Trek, about a photo book that he has out where he takes pictures of obese women.
Naked.
And naked, right. Kevin did not appreciate that as a subject matter and could not contain himself when we had Spock on last week.
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
What was that?
Nothing, sorry. Man. You do not want Spock saying, what was that?
Nope.
What was that? Boy, he meant that, too.
Yeah. Stupid Bean. I can't believe you would say that.
All right. Friday morning, we were out in Fullerton, and we want to thank them again from the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Cafe on Commonwealth for having us down there. Terrific place. We really, really had a good time. Thanks to everybody that came down to see the Miss Double D pageant and coronation. There was a line out the door starting at 6 a.m. I felt terrible, as bad as it was raining on Friday, but there wasn't anything we do. The place was completely packed up, and you missed a hell of a show if you weren't there.
But you know what was really cool is we were having people bring down and unwrap new toys. For Toys for Tots with the Marines.
Yes.
And the Marines went outside, and the people that were standing in line in the rain that couldn't get in gave them their gifts for Toys for Tots anyway. They got they got like an extra 200 gifts from people who couldn't get in.
Wow. We
That's
great
pretty
listeners.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite part was about the line outside, though? You guys should let me in.
Oh,
I drove a long way in the rain. Why can't I come in?
Nick was very upset.
Oh.
He was.
But the problem was like by 6 o'clock, the fire marshals were there. They were saying, we can't let another person in. We'll have to close it down.
And so, Alex kept having to show the dude her boobs just to, so that they wouldn't pull the plug on the broadcast. God bless her.
Yeah. So anyway, we raised near 1,000 toys for Toys for Tots, which
is
very
cool. That was so cool.
That was awesome.
There were some highlights, though. It's the first time we ever did a pageant, and we didn't realize exactly all of the drama that would go into that. But you have nervous chicks and alcohol. Sometimes it doesn't mix really well. Sometimes it mixes really well. We had some questions. They would come out in their bikini portion of the program, and we would ask them a question. And this is Ralph asking one of our contestants a question.
You were in a time machine. Where would you go?
If she had a time machine, she could go anywhere in the world at any time. How would she choose to use that?
You were in a time machine. Where would you go?
I would go probably back to the 70s because I believe that was the most fun, where they could shake their ass and do their thing.
There you go.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Kelly. Why don't you do a little walk down the catwalk real quick?
quick for everybody. So Kelly would use the advantage of being able to travel through time to party harder.
Yes, yeah, she would.
Basically, that's how she would use that gift.
Why try to prevent 9/11 when you can party?
Exactly. Good point, buddy.
So that's the alcohol talk. And see, here's what happens in pageants is the judges always ask a question so you get a chance to see how quick the girl is on her feet.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe even sober, maybe Kelly might have still gone with go back to the 70s so she could party. I'm not sure if that's like her dream. But that was her answer on Friday morning.
I love anybody who could go to any place in time and she just wants to shake that ass. That's her answer. Let me see. Right. When could I shake that ass more?
No, hey, how about a warning to the Titanic? Nope. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do that would really make a difference, but not her.
Now, alcohol doesn't always mix well with people. Some people are fun and funnier when they're drunk.
Sure.
Some people turn a little angry. And our next contestant, we asked her a question, and she turned on the audience hard. Here it is.
Congratulations. You've just received one free pass to punch anybody in the face you'd like to. Who would it be and why?
I would punch everybody in the face of this room because you didn't vote for me, did you?
Yes!
Wow.
She grabbed the microphone, pointed at the audience, and started cursing at her.
Wow.
That's a shortened version of it, by the way. You didn't effing vote for me, you effing blah, 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 effing. I was like, woo!
What was that about? And by the way, how did she know who voted for her and who did? I mean, clearly she had enough votes to get into the top 10. How did she know what happened beyond that?
I don't know, except for there were pockets of support in the group for certain girls, and maybe there wasn't.
She wasn't feeling it?
Yeah.
Well, that was the beautiful Tawny, and we did award her Miss Congeniality after the pageant.
Here's another question for one of the girls and her answer.
If you were a cat burglar and you could get away with one perfect robbery, what famous item would you steal and why?
I would steal famous jewels from a museum.
Famous jewels. An excellent answer.
Jewelry District downtown, Hill Street, Jewelry District. Be there.
She would steal the famous jewels.
All right.
She opened her mouth and her brains fell out.
That was my favorite answer.
I think when Ralph wrote the question, he was thinking, you know, I'd steal the Declaration of Independence or I'd steal the, you know, the Queen's crown. I mean, something specific that you have your eye on. The Mona Lisa. I'd love to steal the Mona Lisa. That'd be cool to own. Just
I'd
those
steal
famous
George
jewels.
Clooney's heart.
The jewels.
The jewels from
the George Clooney's heart. We would have had you kicked down the rain on your ass.
And here was the announcement.
The first runner-up for Miss Double December 2008 is Cassandra. Thank you, Cassandra. Miss Double December for 2008 is Cassidy, everybody. Cassidy is our winner for 2008.
She was fantastic.
Yes.
She had a great attitude.
Yep.
She wasn't yelling. She wasn't causing all kinds of, I don't know, drama backstage.
Not angry.
My God, it was like a battle back there.
Well, it was like being on an episode of The Hills.
Sorry about that. Ouch. Let me just take a second to say this, because you guys were up on stage. You didn't really realize. You guys really need to take your hat off to assistant producer Alex, because she's the only female who was allowed back there to kind of wrangle up the chicks. And as they got more drunk, as they got more angry, she really had her hands full, and she really kept it all together. It was a mess backstage. Those girls were just out of control.
And it was kind of catty, too, after a while.
She was
right?
really the only one who could deal with it, so I just want to give her some props.
Yes, absolutely.
Had she not been back there, it would have been a knockdown, drag-out fight.
Pretty sure.
I think so. And that's probably true of all pageants, by the way. You know that Miss Tennessee hates Miss Alaska. Miss Alaska can't be sitting next to Miss Mississippi. I mean, you know that happens every time they have a pageant. These girls just grow to hate each other because they're in competition and they want to win so badly.
I guess, but probably in the real pageants, they have real dressing rooms and stuff. We threw them all in the same room.
Right.
And it got ugly fast. There were people coming up going, oh, I don't even know what. Alex would come up and go, I don't know what to do. They're getting too, we got to cut them off. They're getting too drunk. They're yelling at each other.
Well, not only thanks to the club and thanks to the fans that came down, but thanks to all of the people who entered for Miss Double December 2007, because we really did have a ton of entries this year, and it was very tough to narrow it down to the top 10. And then of those girls, I mean, it was a tough choice to make.
There were some
phenomenal. I think we would have been real happy with a lot of those girls as our Miss Double December. But I'm very happy for Cassidy, and we're going to get a chance to see her on Saturday night at the Acoustic Christmas, which, by the way, is her first ever concert experience.
Yes.
That's amazing.
She's never been to a concert. Her first ever concert that she goes to. And she's what, 20?
21.
What is she? 21 years old?
Yep, 21.
Her first ever show is going to be this Saturday night. So it was good times. Now, the pictures aren't quite up, but there will be pictures and video, I promise. today. I can't say exactly when, but sometime today at krock.com if you want to check it out.
I'd like to ask for a recount. I want to make sure because this would be my choice for Miss Dunn.
How do you feel, Cass?
Everyone who voted.
Kind of breathless.
I'm sorry. This is the winner. This is the winner, Cassidy.
Oh, okay.
How do you feel, Cass?
Go to the next one.
She was your choice, and she was the choice of the listeners.
This is my real choice.
Congratulations. You've just received one free pass to punch anybody in the face you'd like to. Who would it be, and why?
I would punch everybody in the face of this room because you didn't vote for me, did you?
Yes!
That's who I want. I want somebody that's drunk and angry and cursing every day.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That would be my...
Allie Larder talking about tonight's new Heroes episode. Allie Larder joins us just after 7 o'clock and your chance to win tickets in the pit for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. That's a pretty good half an hour straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Exciting new game coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know you love it, Ralph.
I can't wait to write it. I'm looking forward to it as soon as I finish it. It's going to be great.
58 KRQFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. We'll start with the showbiz news. Here's Ralph.
Here's how it works, people who don't know the Kevin and Bean Show. Just pull back the curtain a little bit. Kevin and Bean come up with an idea about 8 minutes before they needed to put it on the air. And they said, hey, Ralph, go do this. And I said, okay.
8 minutes, by the way, is more leeway than we usually get.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I thought that was generous.
So I'm going to burn through the showbiz news here. And then while Allie Larder's talking to you, I'll be feverishly slaving away on some really horrible contest questions. I guarantee they won't be good.
Don't you still have the room full of 50 monkeys with typewriters?
I do, yes.
They'll come up with something.
They haven't cranked anything good for a while. They may be on strike.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Well, we do the best we can.
Congratulations to Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne. They had a garage sale over the weekend for charity.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they finally had the suicide pact up this weekend.
No, apparently they did not. It's Ozzy's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Ozzy.
Oh.
They raised more than $800,000 for charity.
Wow. Is this for her charity with the breast cancer?
This is for the Sharon Osbourne Colon Cancer Foundation.
Oh, it's colon cancer, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome.
Wow, that's great.
They had all the stuff at the mansion there where, the hit MTV show The Osbournes was shot. And they sold a bunch of their stuff right out of the house and raised over $800,000. One of Ozzy's coats sold for $3,000.
Wow.
A pair of his wire-rimmed sunglasses that he always wears.
Sure.
Went for $5,250.
Wow.
Dude.
Sale was organized by Julianne's Auctions, who do a lot of charity auctions. And as I mentioned, it's all going for colon cancer research. So a good cause and nice thing for them to do.
Yeah.
And plus, they won't have nearly so much stuff to get away when they do the suicide pact.
Oh, stop
it. Out of the way. What? Stop it. They're
she
the ones who said it.
I know, but it was Sharon. You know, come on.
I wouldn't pay any past that crazy fraud. Hey, Michael Jackson's Thriller album is getting reissued for its 25th anniversary this year.
Reissued?
Yeah.
They're just putting it out as is?
Well, they're going to put it out, but they're also going to tart it up with some special bonus remixes.
Okay.
For instance, Kanye West has remixed Billie Jean.
Okay.
That's interesting. So
you get to hear his version of Billie Jean. He's going to put his fingerprints all over it. Change the lyrics a little bit. Billie Jean does not like black folks, which I thought was strange. Will.i.am, the Black Eyed Peas, has reworked The Girl Is Mine.
Worst songs ever.
Yeah, I hope they've changed the lyrics on that one.
And PYT, he also did that one. And Akon has done a remix of Wanna Be Startin' Something. So you'll get all those on a CD. And a bonus DVD will feature the music videos for Beat It, Billie Jean, and Thriller. So you can look for that reissue on February the 12th. So early next year, you can pick that
I hope
up.
R. Kelly was one of the people that remixed.
Me too.
That'd be awesome.
Trapped in the closet with Michael. Top 10 movies this weekend. Enchanted was number one, $17 million. It made it to box office. This Christmas was number two. Beowulf was number three. Awake, the only new movie on the top 10 list, came in at number four with $6 million in its debut weekend. Hitman was number five. Fred Claus came in at number six. August Rush was seven. No Country for Old Men was number eight. Number nine, B-Movie. And number 10, American Gangsta. Yo. If you check that out in that, but that's real good. Speaking of TV shows, I know we're talking to Allie Larder about the brand new and final Heroes of the season.
Yep.
Right after that, I believe on NBC, they're showing a special new episode of Life, the series that I keep talking about, if you haven't seen yet, about the cop who was put away for a dozen or so years falsely imprisoned and then gets released and gets a big settlement. Instead of just going someplace and living on a beach, he goes back to being a cop again. Real good show, so maybe you want to check that after the show.
That's not its regular time?
No, it's usually on Wednesday nights, I believe.
Yeah, right. I think you're right.
So you can check it out. People are wondering why Heather Locklear and Jack Wagner aren't getting married.
They have been fast and furiously dating for several months now. According to Star Magazine, Jack has asked Heather to marry him, but he said no. She said no, rather.
Oh.
Hmm. They, of course, are former co-stars from Melrose Place, known each other for a long time, and now are very much in love. But she said she doesn't want to make any changes in her life right now, and she's scared about trying marriage for a third time. Third time may not be the charm for her.
So she was Tommy Lee and then Richie Sambora, is that right?
Right.
Okay.
And then on to hard rock and Jack Wagner.
Yes.
So she's got a theme. Kate Moss is concerned that an internet sex tape may be surfacing soon.
Oh, no.
Ugh.
Sources tell the British tabloid The London Sun that she's destroyed six sex tapes that she made with her ex-boyfriend Pete Doherty of the Baby Shambles.
God, is that an ugly couple.
But there's still two out there somewhere. And she's concerned that a drug-addicted Pete might need a quick buck for some score.
Uh-oh.
And sell off one of the two remaining tapes that she knows are still floating around out there. So they made eight sex tapes.
Jeez. I wonder if it was eight copies of the same tape, maybe. Is that possible?
Yeah, maybe.
I just threw up.
Yeah, no one wants to see her or him naked. That's the worst sex tape ever.
No.
She's so bony, and he's so just ugly.
Bony and ugly.
Bony and ugly.
It's the name of their new album.
Playing acoustic.
American Idol contestant Jessica Sierra is looking at up to 11 years behind bars after her latest arrest.
What happened? Now, which one was she, Ralph? Should I remember that name?
You would know her if you saw her.
Okay.
You'll recognize her because she's going to be on Dr. Drew's new show, Celebrity Rehab Center Clinic 911, whatever the hell it's called. So he's got some VH1 show, Dr. Drew, where he gets a bunch of celebrities in a room and tries to talk them through rehab.
Right.
Right.
And from what I've seen so far, Jeff Conaway from Taxi is probably leading the pack in terms of most dysfunctional.
What a surprise.
Awesome. He's beautiful.
He's magical. And from what I've seen from the trailers, he gets hauled off in an ambulance very early on in the season.
Excellent.
God,
apparently
I
he smuggles
that.
Drugs into the rehab
Excellent.
House.
Excellent.
But Jessica is in that crowd as well. But I guess it didn't take, because on Sunday she got popped at the Full Moon Saloon in Wyber City, Florida.
Boy.
Florida?
Apparently she began fighting with a friend, then refused to leave the bar when they asked her to leave, and took the fight out onto the street, and then started randomly yelling and pushing passerbys.
Yes.
On the street, starting attacking people randomly.
Taking random
on the street.
People on.
Yeah.
I like it.
She's already got some trouble. She was arrested last month for tossing a glass at a bar patron at a bar in South Tampa.
Holy smokes.
When they booked her, they found cocaine on her.
Excellent.
So now this in combo with that means a potential 11 years. They doubt she'll get that, but she could if she's convicted on all charges. As I mentioned, you can find her on the VH1's new reality show, Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, airing early next year.
Jeez, what a bitch.
Kind of takes all the surprise out of it, doesn't it?
It does.
We I know hope, how things turned out.
Watching the game yesterday, Ralph, I hope you saw the promos for the new season of American Idol starting in the middle of January.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
The best of the worst.
Kevin, you got to be in this year.
I am in for the best of the worst. But
why fight it? Just get on board.
No, as soon as
the boat is already heading out, you have no choice but to come along for the ride. Why go kicking and screaming, being dragged behind the boat? Why don't you get up here in first class with us?
Wait a minute. The boat's already leaving, and he's got to get on it, but he's being dragged behind it, and we're in first class. Where is Kevin, and where are we? I'm confused. And what's going on with the boat?
Am I in the water?
Is he wet? Is he in a dinghy? Is he just being dragged in the water?
Like
he's, but he's on he's, it? He should stay on it? What's happening with Kevin in the boat?
Class on a boat?
Yes.
I'm saying that the boat... Oh, never mind. We don't have time because we've got Ali Larter standing by.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. As I mentioned, Ozzy Osbourne celebrates his 59th today. Daryl Hannah, remember her from Splash as the sexy mermaid, and of course the Kill Bill movie. She's 47. Julianne Moore is also 47 years old. She's a good looking 47, that Julianne
Moore.
Sure. She is.
Brendan Fraser, you know him as George of the Jungle. He was also Dudley Do-Right. He was really the Jason Lee of his time in terms of picking horrible movies based on cartoon characters.
Yeah.
He's 39 years old today. Holly Marie Combs from Charmed is 34. Bruno Campos played Dr. Quentin Costa on Nip Tuck most recently, is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What about the heroes tonight, guys? How excited are you about that episode, and how sad are you that it's going to be the last one we get to see in a while? Tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC, happy to welcome back to the show, Ali Larter
on the
Kevin Bean Show on Carol. Hey, Ali. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're a little nervous, if I can be honest with you, Ali, because I just remember that when we had the actor Santiago, who played Isaac the painter on the show, It was another one of those that was promoted as a very special heroes where one of them will fall, and the next thing we knew, he was dead, and we never saw him again. So now I'm a little bit worried that they're offering you up from NBC to talk about tonight's show.
I feel like with heroes, you know, expect the unexpected, and as soon as you start to believe one thing, be, you know, be sure the other's going to happen.
Oh, we're just saying watch your back today, because...
You know, what's great about, and this is what's interesting about heroes, and Ali, you could probably explain this better than I can, but the plot lines run in arcs where there'll be 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever it is episodes, and then there'll be a conclusion, and then it's almost like a new story gets started up. And tonight is the grand finale of kind of everything we've been seeing all season long, right?
Exactly. It's like a mid-season finale. They're wrapping up all the stories that they started in the first episode of the second season. And then we'll start, you know, as soon as we get back to work, which will be kind of the next pod, which will be called Villains.
Okay. Villains, okay. And what I also love is that you have storylines that are, in some cases, going on all over the world. But somehow, if I remember from last season, you guys managed to almost all converge into the same place at the same time. Are we going to see a lot of you in the episode tonight?
Absolutely. You know, this is like a full action-packed hero versus hero episode. With my character, she has contracted this deadly Shanti virus, and she's waiting for Suresh to see if he's going to be able to get the cure. She's going to spend time with her son, and this is really a time for her when, you know, is the hero able to come out in you when your powers aren't available? So, you know, they go after different themes within the show, and tonight is supposed to be an extraordinary episode. I haven't been able to see it yet, so I'm excited.
I have a clip of you talking to the actor that plays your son on the show, trying to explain to him where you've gone and what's going on.
So where were you, Mom?
I went to a place that helps people like us when we're sick.
Is it Jessica again?
No, Jessica's gone. This is about something else.
What is it?
I have a virus.
What's going to happen to you?
Do you remember Dr. Suresh? He is working really hard to find me a cure, and when he does, I'll get better.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't?
I'm going to get better, Micah.
I'm going to get better, Micah. She lied.
As all mothers do.
Allie, what is it you do as an actress to turn from Nikki into Jessica?
You know, it was when I first signed on to the show, I didn't know that I was going to be playing two characters. So that was by far the greatest challenge I've ever had. I was, you know, stricken with fear when I first read these scripts. And, you know, and then you kind of just pick up the pieces and get to work. And for me, I mean, I think of it as just, you know, the angel and the devil that are in all of us. You know, you go inside yourself and you find all, you know, kind of the sinful sides of you. And for Jessica, I mean, she is the one that doesn't want to conform to society's rules and laws, and you know, she just, you know, loves the devilish side of life. And, you know, for me, I use everything from physicalities, you know, different hair, makeup, clothes, different voice, you know. And a pair of 4-inch stilettos never hurts either.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Allie, the devil side of you seems to come pretty easily. You know what I mean?
I think for most women, I think we definitely both have two sides. We all do.
Now, do you get a lot of fan mail over there at Heroes, Allie?
We do. We do. It's been extraordinary how many people around the world have seen this show. I've never, you know, in my career had that kind of response to anything I've worked on.
I was wondering if you get a lot of letters like the one I sent complaining that that your character, Nikki, seems to have given up stripping on a webcam. Because that really has been my biggest concern about the show.
You know, I remember when I read episode 20 last year, and for some reason I was stripping again, and I was like, what are the writers up to?
Yeah, well, they're doing the right thing is what they're doing.
Now, I'm sure you can't tell us much, but can you give us any kind of hint what is meant in the promos for tonight's show when they say that we're going to lose two of them?
You are going to. But again, this is the truth about heroes. I mean, you never know where things are going. And, you know, because we jump forward and backwards in time, and there's so many different devices and different things they can use to bring characters and weave them in and out. It's just, I think it's a really sophisticated show, and it's for an audience that loves to watch and pay attention. And, you know, tonight especially, you know, there's going to be all the characters in it, and it's just going to be full of action and explosives, and, you know, I think it's going to be amazing.
Now, this is the last one of the season, and has the writer's strike now caught up with your show, like you don't have anymore?
Yes. You know what? It's just awful. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, the last day of set, the last day of the show when we were shooting was just horrible. And, you know, it's just my heart. It just, you know, goes out to our crafties and our grips and our electrics and all these people who are unwillingly and affected by the strike.
Right.
And, you know, I just have my fingers crossed at the writers and you know, the six men that are ruling it all will yeah. come to an agreement, and we'll be able to get back to work and do what we all want to be doing.
So as an actress, you're basically just waiting for the phone to ring for somebody to call and tell you guys when you can show back up on set to start work again, right?
That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm actually, like, having great dinner. Getting
nice.
In order. You know, that's the one thing. I mean, everyone on television works these crazy hours. So, you know, at first, I mean, the first week, I think we were just all kind of happy to have a chance to breathe for a second, you know. And then after that, we're just, you know, I've been on the picketers line with the writers and, you know, just trying to, you know, use this time for something fun and positive.
Sure. Well, your show,
I understand. Your show, Heroes, certainly has some of the best writers in TV. And
I agree. And, you know, we have to stand behind them. You have to stand up for what you believe in. And, you know, hopefully we'll come to an agreement soon.
Does your character die tonight?
Doesn't work like that, Kevin.
I'm just
sorry.
Trying to surprise her just out of nowhere. Does your character die? She's
You're
not saying.
Funny,
she's not saying.
She didn't say no.
She didn't
Good
say
point.
No.
Heroes, tonight at 9 on NBC. Last one for a while. Allie, it's been a long time since we talked to you. Thanks for coming on. Have a great holiday. We appreciate it.
I hope everyone loves the show tonight.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7.
Come up in first class.
There's
we
a buoy.
Are.
You all.
We're steering it.
What I was saying is that he can't help but go with the boat because we're all on the boat. So why not come up and enjoy it with us rather than be dragged along behind the boat? That's all I was saying.
Because I don't like...
How do you guys not get that analogy? It was a fine analogy.
No, well, we're going to get the tape and play
we'll
it back. You started with, Kevin, you might as well get on the boat. Because the boat is already going, and you
right?
should be on the boat instead of
exactly.
being drugged behind the boat. So come
yes.
up here on first class with us instead of
true.
Being not on the boat.
So I'm holding onto a rope behind the boat
but
in the water?
But in the beginning, you weren't even on the boat. He told you should get on
no.
the boat, and you weren't even on
because
there.
Because he's being dragged by the boat is what I'm saying. All right, we don't have time to deal with this right now. It's
you.
The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. How did the editors of Details Magazine put Kevin Federline on their list of the top 10, I believe he came in at number 7, most influential celebrities under 45? We will ask them to explain. Plane coming up after 8. First, though, let's give away some tickets to the shows this weekend, shall
yeah,
we?
We're talking about K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. It's this Saturday and this Sunday night. Don't forget, tickets go on sale this Thursday night. All the details are at krock.com. But right now, we're going to give away pit tickets.
What?
One winner.
Yes?
Gets pit tickets to both nights.
Oh, what? My God.
So if you win, you'll be there Saturday night in the pit. Then you'll go home and have a hangover on Sunday. And then you'll be back Sunday night in the pit.
Night one and night two,
night
both
one and
in
night
the
two.
Pit.
One winner.
So they'll be putting on the pits?
As a matter of fact, they will, yes.
How would you like tickets to night one and two? Well, you can have them in your mitts. Putting on the pits. Hear the clues to ladies' answers. Then you have to give the answers which one fits. Putting on the pits.
Come nice. On!
Nice.
Come on!
So it sounds like what you're saying is that famous pits is the category on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Is that right, Ralph?
All these questions have to do, indeed, with pits.
So pit will somehow be in the answer. Pit
or in
pits.
The question.
Or
it'll
in the
be
question.
In the question or it'll be in the answer, but it will somehow revolve around a pit or pits.
Okay. If you get it correct and you're the only one, you'll win the tickets. If more than one person gets it correct, we will have a drawing and you'll win tickets to In the Pit for both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. All right, let's begin with Mike, who is calling from Anaheim Hills. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, what's happening, Kevin and Bean?
I'll tell you what's happening. It's putting on the pits, my friend.
All right, let's do it.
There's your question.
All right, Mike, here's your question. In the great pit of Carcoon, in the sand on the desert planet of Tatooine, Luke Skywalker faced what sharp-teeth beast in Return of the Jedi?
Oh, man.
You can see it in your mind, can't you?
If you're a Star Wars fan, you know this scene I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like a big sandworm with teeth. What was the name of the creature?
Wormtooth, I don't know.
Yes, Wormtooth.
Wormtooth.
No, it was the Sarlacc. The Sarlacc,
Sarlacc.
Pit.
Of
the Sarlacc
it was.
Pit.
Mike, I have more respect for you that you didn't know that, and yet I'm going to have to
Sarlacc.
Hang up on you. Thank you. All right, let's go to Cassandra, who is calling us from Los Angeles. Good morning, Cassandra.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Cassandra.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How you doing? How you doing?
You sound a little bit nervous, but don't be because you're putting on the pits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this is a different question. Okay. This lame Los Angeles tourist attraction features a mechanical mammoth trapped in smelly, sticky goo.
Oh.
We don't need you, Gene Simmons.
Speaking of sticky goes.
Lame Los Angeles tourist attraction.
Okay, can you repeat the question?
Yes, this lame Los Angeles tourist attraction features a mechanical mammoth trapped in a pool of smelly, sticky goo.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, Cassandra. I know you know this.
Uh-oh.
I know you've driven by this place and mocked it.
The La Brea Tar Pits.
No, I'm sorry.
Not familiar with the La Brea Tar Pits?
Thank you.
They've only been around for a few million years.
Go back to bed.
Let's go to John in Irvine. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hello, John.
Hey, John, this is the guy who controls the tables in Vegas, and he's ass. This is the ass you should kiss if you want a comp.
That would be the pit boss.
Yes,
the pit boss, that's right.
The pit boss. Nicely done. You hold on for the drawing. Let's go to Melissa in Van Nuys. Good morning. Or Robert in Los Angeles. Good morning.
There we go.
Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Robert, this western Pennsylvania city is still best known as the one-time center of the steel business in the U.S.
Pittsburgh is correct.
Yes. Home of U.S.
We would have
steel.
Had to kill you if you didn't get that one. Yeah. Sorry.
All right, now let's try Melissa in Van Nuys. Hi.
Good morning, guys.
Melissa.
Hey.
This is where Dylan and Brenda could often be seen hanging out after class on Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, come on! Has Pitt in the answer?
The pitiful. I don't know.
The pitiful.
The pitiful is not correct.
The peach pit! Come on! The peach pit.
The peach pit.
All the kids hung out at the peach pit.
The peach pit!
So far, it's John and Robert in the finals. Let's try Boris, Baldwin Park. Good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on Q-Rock. You ready for your famous pit?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Guy's name is Boris.
Boris, this actor got his big break in Thelma and Louise.
Brad Pitt?
That's right.
Better have gotten that one. I was going to come over and beat you up.
That was a slam dunk.
All right, hold on.
Okay.
Got a couple more questions left if we have some more people.
Let's go to Ray and Downey. Good morning, Ray.
Dudes, good morning.
Ray, this breed of terrier is often mischaracterized as a vicious fighting dog.
A pit bull.
That's right.
Nicely done.
Say hi to Michael Vick.
One more. This is Johnny in Palmdale. Good morning.
Good morning.
Johnny, this author, famous for writing some of America's earliest horror stories, wrote the legendary The Pit and the Pendulum.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes!
Nicely done.
Good for you, and I'm glad you knew that.
Look at that. Oh.
And Kevin just hung up on
him. The whole phone system went dead. All the lines are gone.
No way.
Yeah, I don't. Look.
He's right.
Oh, that's
horrible. Everything just went dead.
That's very bad.
Did we get all their phone numbers? We do. We have their phone numbers.
We have their numbers?
We do?
We can still do the drawing.
Kevin hit the block button, and we don't have their numbers.
But the numbers are right here on the screen.
On your screen? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll
take it off Lisa's screen.
Write it down.
Take it off Lisa's screen. Quick.
Lisa, make a drawing, then we'll call the winner.
Okay. And the winner is Ray and Downey.
Ray and Downey. Good old Downey Ray.
Downey Ray. Congratulations, pit tickets for both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. We're going to do this each day this week, leading up to the show. Not the same game.
Oh, thank God.
But the same answers, no.
I'm out of pits.
And this ends our slow dance portion of the morning. Kevin and Bean Show at 7:43 on the world-famous K-Rock.
That's one of my favorite all-skate numbers, by the way. Every time we play it, the kids go crazy. We did get a hold of Ray, by the way, in case you're wondering about our phones that blew up. We were able to call him back. We had his number. We gave him tickets in the pit. We are going to call a street team member in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, somebody who just signed up for the street team maybe now, maybe a year ago, maybe 5 years from now, but they're all set to buy their tickets when they go on sale this Thursday for the Acoustic Christmas 2007 shows. But he won't have to worry about it because we're going to call and give him tickets coming up just after 9 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
We had a call last week, I think, on What a New Nephew, a girl that called and told us that the Jackson 5 was going out on tour.
That's
the Jackson 5, including Michael.
Unbelievable.
So we thought we'd find out a little bit more information about that. And if Michael Jackson were on the phone, I would be more than happy to talk to him. That would be cool.
Is he rehearsing, do you think?
The deal that we've heard about is they're going to be like Celine and Barry and one of these other acts where they do a full-on residency in Las Vegas where they just perform every night. They're one of the acts that's available to go see. And they're talking about doing, I don't know, all year long or something. They're talking about 250 concerts or something they're doing out there.
They would sell that out, wouldn't
they? Second.
I would want to see that.
Just train wreck, you know? I mean, all his other brothers, they've got to be just losers, right? And then Michael is the most desperate of all. Oh, that'd be awesome.
I would go, for all sure. Right.
What would Michael tell us if we had him on the phone?
Well, he'd tell us a lot of funny stuff. But the phone's crashed again just a second ago.
Oh, my God.
Well, what the,
they're trying to get a hold of
the, here.
I don't know.
It's about a $500 million deal from what we understand. 250 dates with him and the brothers.
Are you kidding?
You know, it's so funny, and I joked about this when the caller called in last week. I said, you know, it used to probably be that, you know, Tito and Randy and some of those other Jacksons would always be begging Michael to get back together. But now Michael's the one who probably has more money troubles than they do. Now he's probably the guy who's dying to get the reunion going so he can make some cash.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's try it again. Michael, are you there?
Really? Did we really need the intro music again?
Yes. Every time.
Couldn't we just get into the bit?
Every time, my friend.
It'd be better just to get into the bit.
How are you, Mike?
Running very late.
How do you know
a lot about our show? Wow.
Well, I've been listening now for a while.
Oh, okay.
And I know it's... Oh, Jesus.
Now,
it's
you...
quarter to eight already.
Are
Rafa, did you show me?
Yeah, I heard that.
It's all right, Michael. We're five. We're good.
Don't take this on your shoulders.
Get
it's okay. Now, are you doing the Jackson 5 tour?
Yes. I'm getting back together with my brothers,
okay.
Peter and Bobby and Greg.
Nope.
That's those the Brady's. Are Brady's. Those are Brady's, yeah.
Danny and David and
Laurie. Partridges?
Partridges.
Nope, those are Partridges.
Donnie.
Mary Osmond.
Osmonds.
How about Tito?
Tito, remember Tito and Jermaine and Randy and...
No.
I think Alan Jackson maybe is one of them.
Not ringing a bell. Alan Jackson. Yes, I love Alan Jackson.
Your brothers and a country singer.
Yes.
So how would it work? And do you have any idea where you would play in Las Vegas? Where would you do these 250 concerts?
Yes, I'm thinking the Spearmint Rhino, right outside the Strip.
Michael, that's a strip club.
What?
It's not really a concert venue.
Oh, well then I guess it would have to be. The Olympic Gardens.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Another strip club.
These are the places that are making the offer. I don't know.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I see what it is. Okay. So this is what's fascinating,
the Stardust,
though.
The Stardust. That's what we're going to do.
I don't think that's there anymore, Michael. I think they blew that one up.
I blew that one up. Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't good.
So the deal is that you're talking about... living in Las Vegas for the year, building yourself a secure, you know, high-walled home that you can be there for you and your kids while you stay there for the year. And you're talking about cashing in on the memorabilia and a casino and rides and concert halls. I mean, you've got a big plan for Las Vegas, apparently.
Well, yes, the tour will be across America. We'll be performing all over America.
Okay.
And then I also plan to build the Michael Jackson theme park and casino and hotel and stadium.
Oh, you're going to have all of that? It's going to be named after you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and you'll be able to go into the casino and sit down in the slot machine.
Okay.
And if three pacifiers come up, then you win the jackpot.
Oh, no.
Is that in good taste, Michael, based on your history?
And then you can go to the Jesus Juice Bar and get a delicious beverage and a hilarious novelty cup.
Right.
A sippy cup.
And then you can come in and see the show.
Okay. And when do you hope this is going to be up and running?
Oh, what time is it?
It's now 13 till 8.
I'm thinking 2040.
Okay. Now, should we read into this is how broke you are? Because clearly you don't like going out with your brothers. Clearly you do it once every 20 years. I mean, are you that desperate for cash now?
I love my brothers. I love performing with them.
What are their names again? Yeah.
Craig.
Yeah. You need the money, right?
No. Craig. Greg?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Okay, you love your brothers and you love performing with them. That's why you do it every 20 years.
Clem?
There's no Clem.
Clementine?
I don't think there's a Clementine.
Carl? I'm getting a K or a C.
You're not psychic. You're supposed to know who your family members are, Michael.
It's kind of a slam dunk.
You're right. You okay?
Mike?
Mike.
Ralph has showbiz in a couple minutes.
He does. All right, we'll get right to
it. Wrap this up.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, Marlon.
Marlon, yes!
That's one of them.
Yes. You win!
Woohoo!
Sunday night, that band will be playing K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007.
Christmas!
7:58. And don't forget, tickets go on sale this Thursday night, the 6th, at 5 o'clock for night number one and 6 o'clock for night number two.
And keep in mind, when you're buying your tickets online, if you print them out at home... If you utilize that service, it saves you all the time of having to stand in line and pick them up at the event at the will call. So
it does avoid you that line, yes.
Use your smarts and just when you buy them, just print them out there right online, and then you can just carry them with you right to the venue. Pretty cool.
I have always very much appreciated Ticketmaster allowing me to use my printer and my ink to print out those tickets and charging me $2.50 to do it. I want to thank them for that.
And you charge you extra if you print.
Yeah. If you print it yourself and bring them to the venue, they charge you extra money. Yeah. And I do like that about
them. Right.
Right. Anyway, you got to be a street team member. And all the details are at KROQ.com. It's KROQFM passing Los Angeles, Monday morning, 7:58. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? According to Daily Variety, here's how it shakes out. Enchanted, number one at the box office again. $17 million in a lackluster weekend made it number one by far. Oh, the people just love Dr. McDrippy and the Princess Diaries.
Is that is it a kids movie or is it a romantic comedy or is it both?
It is a romantic comedy aimed towards young females, but not children.
Oh, so yeah, it's too old for Bean.
It's too old for Bean.
Okay.
But it is
Zac Efron does not dance in it, in other words.
He does not dance in it.
No. Okay, then there's no reason for me to go.
This is for the chicks. This is your date night movie right here. It's about an animated princess who accidentally stumbles into modern-day New York City and becomes three-dimensional. And she meets Dr. McLucy.
Dreamy.
I don't think it's Lucy.
And they have a passionate yet chaste love affair. Because it's a romantic comedy, so there's no humping.
Okay.
This Christmas, number two at the box office this weekend, a hilarious black family has Christmas. In this powerful story of black people and Christmas.
Yes.
Beowulf is number three. Awake, the only new movie in the top ten, was number four at the box office. Then Hitman, Fred Claus, August Rush, No Country for Old Men, B-Movie, and American Gangster, rounding out your top ten at the box office. Hollywood Reporter made out their annual list of highest paid actresses in Hollywood this week. Very interesting on who makes the most money, I thought.
Now, for many, many years, it was Julia Roberts. Is she still up there at the top?
No.
Not anymore.
She's number four.
Wow.
Tied in a four-way tie at number four with Nicole Kidman, Renee Zellweger, and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, those are all A-listers.
Those three broads and Julia all make a reported $10 to $15 million a picture. That makes them all tied for number four.
Okay.
Here's how the rest of the top ten go. Number 10 is Halle Berry. She makes $10 million a picture.
Would you say she's opening the door for other black women?
She's kicking in the door. She's a vessel of other black women making $10 million a picture. She would be making $12 million a picture if she hadn't made Catwoman. It's a two-way tie at eighth place. So eighth and ninth is Drew Barrymore and Jodie Foster. Both making in the $12 million range. Nicole Kidman and Renee Zellweger. I mentioned those.
Right.
Cameron Diaz is number three.
Okay.
She's making 15 mil a picture.
Wow. Why?
I don't know. But apparently her movies make money.
Yeah.
Who are the people who go, Cameron Diaz is in it? I'm there.
Give me more of the holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
Jude Law and Jack Black.
Great example.
Angelina Jolie. She's making from $15 to $20 million a picture.
That's who I thought would be number one.
No, you'd be wrong, Kevin. Mm. Your favorite actress of all time is number one.
The man?
The man. Reese Witherspoon. Making over $20 million per picture.
Really?
Jackpot.
The highest paid actress in Hollywood working to date.
Good for her.
That surprise anyone else?
That surprises me to death.
Well, she got an Oscar.
So does Halle Berry. She's 10th.
Yeah.
I think she's a much better actress than Halle Berry.
But what hits her is she making? She should make $20 million.
Well, Walk the Line. I can't think of Line.
But it wasn't her movie. She's not opening Walk the Line.
Well, I'm saying she was a big part of its success. She was phenomenal. I mean, that's why she won the Oscar for that role. She was great in
it. A lot of these actors were great in movies, but why is she making $20 million while they're making $10?
I don't know, because the last movie that she did at the box office was that Jake Gyllenhaal war movie that I don't think did that
Stiff.
Well.
Stiff.
Oh, yeah.
Stiff.
Yeah. Wow, that's... I mean, she's good. She should be making a lot of money, but number one is odd.
Like, more than Angelina Jolie is a little bit of a surprise, yeah.
I would think hit-wise, Angelina Jolie probably... makes bigger hits.
And she looks like a woman.
And has bigger hits.
Hey, what the? I mean, Drew Barrymore, if you want it just in terms of box office, I'm guessing she's probably better off, too, than
that. She just must have a really good agent.
Yeah, maybe.
She must. Speaking of actresses and lists, Mr. Skin has rolled out his top 10 nude scenes for 2007.
Ooh. That's what I'm talking about.
Fantastic. Bean's personal hero.
Mr. Skin, of course, is the guy who runs the website that picks out the nude parts of movies so you don't have to bother scanning through them. I really wanted to see the winner at number one. Had I known she was naked in it, I would have gone. But I'll give you a 10 to 1. Okay, right. Here. Number 10 was Stormy Daniels and Nautica Thorne in Knocked Up.
Yeah. Sure.
They were naked in that. She's a, porn, she's a porn star. It barely counts. Yeah. Stormy Daniels. Yeah. Number 9, Lena Headey in 300.
Oh, Lena she Headey. Played the wife of the
yeah, exactly.
King dude.
Eva Mendes, number 8, We Own the Night. Or We Own Night.
We Own Night.
Dave, the King of Mexico, would say. Malin Ackerman in The Heartbreak Kid. She's naked in that movie. Still not enough to get me to go see it. Ben
see
Stiller, by the way. Rosalind Sanchez in Yellow, number
Holy
6.
Smokes.
Yeah, she's a hottie. But what's Yellow? I don't
know what
movie.
Yellow is.
It's not one of those pee movies, is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
It's a pee movie.
Yeah, it's all about,
I'm just
the,
saying.
It's all about the golden showers.
There's a lot of
that's
those.
I was afraid of.
Douchebag. Sienna Miller, number 5 in Factory Girl. Movie about Andy Warhol and Edie Sedgwick.
Did you see that?
Which I liked a lot.
All right.
Christina Ricci in Black Snake Moan.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Both of you stop it.
I was there for that one. I saw that. All its Black Snake glory.
And why aren't there more movies where women are chained up in a guy's living room, too, by the way?
Yeah.
All right.
That's my big black guys.
Represent Bean's life.
Natalie Portman in Hotel Chevalier.
Yeah.
That doesn't really count. It's a mini movie. It's a tiny little mini movie.
Yeah, and it's just her ass, too.
Yeah. Number 2, Keeley Hazel.
Oh.
She's
who's that?
In
what
a movie?
Movie
called Cashback.
Yes, please.
Which is a science fiction film about a supermarket clerk who has the ability to stop time. Cashback.
I did not know she was in that, but I will now rent it.
It's on DVDs. It just came out, so you can pick that up.
I have her sex film.
I what?
Like, so you don't really need to go rent that. Just
you
go
have whose
her.
Sex film?
She's in a amateur sex film she made with her ex-boyfriend.
A celebrity sex tape?
Yeah, go get that.
The number one honors go to Marissa Tomei.
Oh, yes.
Yeah! Who apparently has a graphic sex scene in Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. This is that movie I wanted
I saw
to
that.
See with... Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, the robbery one?
They robbed their parents' jewelry store.
Yeah.
What happened to that? Did it come out?
It's still,
it
in,
out?
It's still in theaters. It's still in theaters, yeah. Right. I saw it, and she is naked 3 different times in that movie. I totally recommend it.
Great gosh almighty.
Yeah.
Right, then.
All well right. done.
I'm out of time, but I've got some interesting movie news with both James Bond actor Daniel Craig and Batman Christian Bale. So you're going to want to stick around an hour or so when I do that, won't you? Today's celebrity birthday is Daryl Hannah's 47 years old today. Julianne Moore also turns 47. Brendan Fraser, very talented young actor, is 39. Holly Marie Combs from Charmed is 34. And Ozzy Osbourne, our buddy the Ozman, celebrates his 59th birthday. And have you ever seen a more spry 59-year-old?
Oh, no. Guy runs marathons every other day.
And rides ATVs. Oh, no, wait, he doesn't do that anymore. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How not to gain 100 pounds over the holidays. I'm at least halfway there, by the way, after Thanksgiving. We're going to do another edition of the Psycho Body with our own Psycho Mike coming up in just a few minutes. Last week, we told you about this Details magazine that's out right now and the list of the most influential men under 45. And I just skimmed it. I haven't spent a lot of time with it. But I know that any list that is giving Kevin Federline props for any reason is something that has to be stopped. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
I'm with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we thought we've got to find out more about what the process was involved in how this list was put together. And we asked Lightning to line up for us the Details Entertainment Director, Nicole Vecchiarelli. Nicole V.
You almost had it. I
tried. I'm sorry, Nicole. I apologize for that. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
We're good, thanks. The Details Power 50, how do you describe what this list is? Because it's very different from most of the lists we see in the magazines.
Well, basically, it's a compilation of, you know, different people, whether politics or pop culture or entertainment or industry, that are actually, like, affecting your life and the things you talk about in the office and the things that affect what you buy and what you do, rather than just being a list of, like, 50 power players, like, the CEO of this company or the head of this hedge fund or, you know, something like that.
Now, some of them I understand. I mean, you put a guy like Kevin Martin, who's the chairman of the FCC, on the list at number 17. I understand how what decisions he makes have an impact on what the rest of us get to hear on the radio. I get that. But how does something like Rascal Flatts, the country band at 18, how is that influential?
Well, basically, if you consider what they've done and they've sort of, you know, kind of gentrified country music and they brought a lot of power to the people that were interested in it because the scope is so much broader now that it's not just for hardcore country fans. And they were one of the biggest selling acts of the year. And that's power.
How did you get to them?
What
I mean, it seems like it seems like you'd sit around a conference room and kind of brainstorm. I don't know how Rascal Flatts would have ever even come up.
Well, here's the thing. Is that a lot of what influenced our decisions and the things that get us excited, or if there's people like Kevin Federline or like Rascal Flatts that are really unexpected people that you wouldn't have imagined that you would care about or would influence your life in any way. And 2 years ago, the average person who cared about music had no idea who a band like Rascal Flatts are, and now they do. You know what I mean? So that's sort of how we got to that point.
You are right, and I think a lot of our listeners would be shocked to hear that Rascal Flatts sells more than not just any band we play on K-Rock, but probably all the bands we play on K-Rock combined.
Wow. And the thing is that what you guys have to understand is that it's not like, it's not a popularity list. It's not the people that we love. Like, we don't think Rascal Flatts like rocks our world or anything. We just think that, you know, what they've done is definitely notable.
Okay. Number 7 on your list is the one that caught our attention, and I'm sure a lot of other people too. And it's a dual entry called The Good Fathers. And you say Kevin Federline and Larry Burkhead. And I suppose what you're going to tell us is it's because they turned out to be better fathers than the scumbags we expected them to be once they got custody of these kids that they fought in court for, right?
Yeah, that was definitely a big part of the argument. It started in sort of a larger conversation that we were saying in the past year, it seems like just the dad in general, or the celebrity dad, seems to have gotten a lot more play than he ever has. You know, like the Brad Pitt or Ben Affleck or whatever, all these paparazzi pictures of these guys toting around their kids. But then we were like, you know, who wants to read yet another thing about what a great dad Brad Pitt is? And we were like, you know, what's even more interesting and surprising is that you now think of Kevin Federline as a good parent.
I don't think that for one second.
We think of him as a better parent than Britney.
Well, I think
that's what we think.
Right. Well, I think just the fact that when that whole custody thing was playing out, that in some way you were rooting for him.
No.
2 years ago.
He's the worst human being on the planet. He's still that idiot wigger that is just trying to get money.
Listen, I totally understand where you're coming from, because I'm definitely of the same thought process. But I will tell you that once we got into it, and we actually, obviously, because he's on the cover, we went to his house and spent time with him and his kids. And even me, who is the most bitter cynic of them all, I was like, God, this guy actually is a good dad, and he kind of does get a bad rap. So it's not completely unjustified. But
look, Nicole, even if he's a good dad, how is he the 7th most influential person on your list? The Facebook guy is behind him.
The idea is the power of his turnaround, you know, that his image is so distinctly different to what it was a year or 2 years ago. If somebody had told you, you know, 2 years ago when he was the butt of every joke, and, you know, he was, you know, holding his wife's dog and Popo Zhao and blah, 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 and all that, you know, then you would have never thought in a million years that some people would be saying this guy should get custody of these kids over their mom, you know.
Nicole, the voice you hear on the phone, by the way, is Nicole Vecchiarihama. She is the Details Entertainment Editor for Details Magazine. Let me ask you this, though. Does it matter to you what his motivation is? Because I don't think it's out of deep love and concern for his children. Clearly, he showed with the way he walked away from his previous kids to get with Britney in the first place that he doesn't care that much about his own kids. Don't you think he's just doing this to get a bigger paycheck out of his ex-wife?
Know, you know, actually what his motivations are. I mean, I think what's more interesting about it is that somebody who you did think was such a joke and maybe isn't the brightest bulb in the chandelier actually accomplished like a major public relations coup. You know what I mean? And so there's something so interesting about that, that the juxtaposition of like who he is with what he's done is what makes him interesting to me.
But don't mistake that he has hidden what a horrible father he is with he's a good father.
That's part of his power. The fact that he, in spite of the fact that he was maybe a crappy dad to his kids in the past, here are all these people that, you know, see him with these kids now, and they're buying into it.
I would rather see these kids with that woman in Texas who drowned hers in the bathtub. I really would. I think they'd be safer and better off. There's like, it's only a matter of time before Kevin is going to light them on fire or forget where he left them. You just don't flip a switch and become a good dad. You just don't. I'm sorry.
I just played into the whole thing, but I will tell you, after spending a day at that house, I was pretty impressed.
Here's what I think, and tell me if my theory is anywhere close. I think you just put him on the list because you wanted people to talk about it.
And you knew, put him on the cover.
And you knew if you put him at number 7, people would go, what? And that's what you were looking for.
There's definitely probably a little bit of us wanting to, which is sort of the nature of details in general, is just to be a little contrary and a little, like, get you to scratch your head.
Because you put, like, Tyler Perry at 50. The guy's worth, you know, $200 billion. You know, you got Jay-Z at 44, and you got K-Fed at 7. I mean, really, you have to tell us that that's insanely ridiculous.
It's not insanely ridiculous. I think we make a good argument and stance, but I will tell you that it's definitely part of what we do, that we want to try and not be so obvious in our choices and get people talking about it. But it's definitely not, like, fabricated. There's an argument there that we believe in.
No.
Okay, one last question for me, Nicole, and that is, did Federline put a baby in you when you were over at his house for the photo shoot?
Okay, you know, I might have held a tater tot.
That's a good question, by the way.
Because you guys know how fertile he is. I mean, he just looks at a woman and she gets pregnant. I mean, come on.
I have to tell you that before we went in the office, the girl who does our website, she was like, if you get impregnated by someone, she's like, it's going to be the best blog ever, and everyone's going to go to details.com. So I was like, I'll see what I can do.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you dating him?
No. I would tell you if I was.
Nicole?
I would break the news right here on K-Rock if I was.
I think I would like you to put out another episode of Details and take him off the list.
I don't think that's likely. The Details with Kevin Federline on the cover, regrettably, is on newsstands now. Kevin, I'm going to give you a shot at saying goodbye to our guest and pronouncing your name right, because I've tried twice and I can't do it.
Nicole Vecchiarelli.
Oh, you were so close.
Vecchiarelli.
You were so close.
You
there
say
we
it.
Go.
You got it.
Vecchiarelli. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, and stop it. Okay. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, no.
On the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. I don't know. My microphone just fell apart. It just literally just dropped to the ground.
As the song ran out? Is that what happened?
Sweet.
Oh, sweet.
The hell?
Hey, guys, today is the 3rd of Double December, and that means we're dangerously close to holidays and holiday meals.
What are you going to do when Santa comes by?
I'm going to say, what's up?
What you're going to do is you're going to gain anywhere from 20 to, or if you're me, 150 pounds with all the cool stuff that's going to be put in front of you at the holidays. And that's why we're here to help that not happen this year with Psycho Mike and the Psycho Body.
He is a licensed trainer. Are you still licensed?
Yep.
Licensed trainer. And works at a gym and helps people work out, helps people lose weight.
I get people so swole.
Has studied for quite a while. And yet we're going to say up front this little disclaimer that I would double check anything he says with a doctor. I'd go to a doctor and I'd just double check anything he says. That's probably the safest way to
like
do it.
Like a grain of salt's a little too big. I mean, just don't even take what I say seriously.
Right,
that's what I'm saying.
Right. So how do you go through? You just got done with Thanksgiving. How do you go through the entire holiday season with family and all the food and not gain that 25 pounds so that on New Year's Eve you're like, oh, I've just got to lose some weight. The beginning of the year, I can't eat like this anymore.
Gym membership and interest in personal trainers is amplified considerably between December 1st to like January 15th. It's just that's when people really need to, you know, make that extra push.
Like January 2nd is the busiest day all year long at the gym, and then by March, most of those new members are gone, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. At least, probably February.
It tapers off pretty quick.
So we're going to take your questions at 1-800-520-1067 for Psycho Body. You can call in and ask any question that you have about types of food to eat, types of food to avoid, any of the above.
Let me ask you this, Mike, and I'm sure people kind of dance around this or touch on it a little bit, but the holidays, I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying some of the sweets. I mean, people are going to make fudge. There's going to be pumpkin pie. There's going to be desserts. I mean, that's kind of part of the fun of the holidays is the meals. I hope your advice isn't just you can't ever put any of that stuff in your mouth.
Well, you're exactly right, Bean. Everybody grew up with the kid whose parents never allowed them to have any sweets in the house at all, 100% no-no with all the foods that weren't health food. And then they came over to your house, and they just gorged on, Lucky Charms and Kit Kats and everything else that you had in your pantry. Well, the same thing goes for you as an adult when it comes to the holidays. The last thing you want to do is tell yourself, I'm not going to enjoy myself at all over the holidays. No. Have your pieces of pumpkin pie. Enjoy the gravy and the turkey and the stuffing and stuff. But understand that you got to do it in moderation or else you are going to totally blow whatever type of diet you've been on thus far.
Well, you kind of have to make it a one-day thing. Christmas meal doesn't last 5 days.
Treat yourself and know that you're going to do it and understand going into the holidays that you are going to enjoy yourself a little bit more and make it a little special treat for yourself as opposed to just trying to cut yourself off altogether, which what you're going to end up doing is sitting through half of the Christmas dinner with your family, torturing yourself, and then at the end of the night just going overboard and eating everything left in the house. So.
Yeah. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Psycho Body is...
Come on, dudes, let's go exercise!
Exercise! Yeah! I'm gonna do sit-ups till I poop myself!
Don't just get fit, get psycho! Don't just get strong, get psycho! Don't just get big, get psycho! It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Yeah! Are you with me?
1-800-520-1067. It's the holiday edition of the Psycho Body, a guy who claims to know what he's talking about. Although I will tell you, Psycho Mike has taken a couple of the members of the Kevin Bean staff, Omar comes to mind, under his arm, and has really, like, transformed them in a remarkably short period of time. So the dude knows what he's talking about, right?
Oh, Omar's my crown jewel. He's my biggest glittering example of what can happen if you follow my advice.
Did he take him under his arm or under his wing?
Whatever you take him under, I don't know. But look at the job he did with Lightning, though, while we're giving him all these compliments.
Oh, yeah.
No one's shown what my magic can do more than lightning.
How do you not gain all that weight at the holiday? That's the question on the table. Mike gave us a couple of basic ideas. Now let's get into some specific questions. Why not Claudia from Los Angeles on line one? She's got a question that I'm sure a lot of ladies out there in particular are thinking about as we head into the holiday season. Good morning, Claudia. You're on the Psycho Body.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, Psycho Mike, I was just calling because I want to try to lose about 10 pounds before the holidays, which is probably before New Year's Eve. And I was wondering if there's anything specific you can recommend, just because, you know what, you don't want to deprive yourself because then you end up in a crash diet again.
Do you exercise now?
You know what, unfortunately, I can't because I have a bad ankle, but...
You can't exercise at all because your ankle doesn't work.
Exactly.
That makes zero sense whatsoever.
What can she do?
You can do a lot of things. Can you stand up?
Definitely.
Well, then you can exercise. I mean, there's a lot of exercises you can do that don't involve your ankle. Obviously, you're not leg pressing and squatting and stuff like that. But there's still plenty of things you can do that don't involve your ankle directly.
Correct.
But you want to lose 10 pounds before New Year's
Eve. Yeah, listen, don't put those type of like qualifications on you. Like, I want to lose a certain amount of weight by this time and this date. That's a bad thing to do. Mm-hmm. Just try to eat healthy and exercise and lose weight naturally and as healthy as possible and hope for the best. It's already December 1st. Don't try to, you know, say, I want to lose this amount of weight by December 31st. Yeah, I mean, it's unhealthy.
Is it doable?
It's doable. Sure, it's doable. But just diet and start exercising.
It's a little more helpful if you can actually exercise, though.
Right.
And as opposed to she cut out all carbs. Right up until New Year's Eve.
Look, if you want to start eating more frequently, eat about every 2 or 3 hours and eat smaller meals. Don't eat till you're stuffed.
Uh-huh.
That's the best rule of advice I can give you. And when you're at the supermarket, you're at a restaurant, you want to buy things to eat. Make sure it's stuff that was around when the earth was created, not stuff that was made by man. That's the number one rule of thumb I can give you. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and animals. Those are the best things that you can eat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for the
call.
Good
luck to you, Claudia. Thank you for the call.
Let's try Josh. He's on line three. Josh calling from Tarzana on the Psycho Body Holiday Edition. Good morning, Josh. You're on the Kevin Bean Show. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, Psycho Mike.
Hey, dude.
I love your music.
Thanks, man.
I have a two-part question. I would like to know, what is a good solid breakfast? And... fish oil. What do you think?
Fish oil is the number one supplement I would recommend for everyone, no matter what your goal is. I'm not a big supplement guy. I think that real food can do what you need. But fish oil and a good multivitamin, the number one things I would recommend for everybody. It's a wonder drug. It does practically everything for your body well.
How do you take fish oil?
You could take it in pills. It's a lot cheaper and a lot more effective if you take it by the oil, but it doesn't taste the best. So if you don't have a solid stomach, go ahead and get the pills, the capsules.
It does taste kind of like a hooker if you take the liquid form.
It does. It smells like Lisa's panty drawer, too.
Good solid breakfast. Just one step too far.
Good solid breakfast. Combine a good complex carbohydrate like some oatmeal or some sweet potato in the morning. You know, typically oatmeal is a good one because people eat oatmeal in the morning. And some egg whites or some whole eggs, whatever you prefer. That's always a good solid breakfast right there.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's see. Let's go to Justin, who is calling from Moreno Valley. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome to the Psycho Body.
What's up, Psycho?
Hey, dude.
Hey, like, I'm pretty fit, but I still have a little bit of fat around my belly and love handles.
Uh-huh.
I've seen commercials and heard some stuff about taking milk or yogurt or other dairy products that kind of help to lose that fat. Is there any truth to that?
100% no, especially if you're already kind of lean. The last thing you want to do is take in a lot of dairy because it's gonna bloat you. I mean, even if you're not lactose intolerant, guys that are in bodybuilding contests or fitness models, weeks before they go on stage or they go in front of the camera, they cut out dairy completely because it does tend to hold water beneath your skin.
So if you're in decent shape, how do you get rid of that?
You're decent shape. Start cutting. Go to the gym when you're lifting weights. Start cutting the rest between your sets a little closer. So you're really moving through the gym and you're doing a lot of compound body movement, squats, bench presses, deadlifts, dips, things like that that involve your entire body and get your body moving through its full chain. And like I said, keep moving quickly in the gym and cut down those rests in between your sets so that your heart rate can stay elevated for a longer period of time and you get that metabolism ramped up.
All right.
Thank you, Justin. Hey, Mike, you saw me on Friday at the Double December Remote.
Shredded,
am I working out
peeled.
Too much? Dude, I mean, my fear is that I am too cut at this point, and it's just starting to not look natural.
I was going to tell that to you, dude, but I didn't want to offend you. You're starting to look like Madonna a couple years ago, where you're just too muscular. It's vulgar. It's disgusting.
So I should dial it back. I should only be working out 3 times a day instead of 4?
Give it a rest, dude. Have a piece of pie once in a while.
Both of you stop wasting our time. Marco in Santa Fe Springs. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Psycho Mike?
Hey, man.
Lisa May.
Hello.
All right, I'm 6'2", 230, and I'm trying to get cut. I'm wondering what's the fastest way. Is it cardio, or should I just go straight to lifting?
I don't personally do a lot of cardiovascular activity, but it doesn't mean that it's bad. You should do a combination of both. But these marathon sessions of running and biking that a lot of people do, thinking that they're doing themselves a favor to lose body fat, are a no-no. Do some interval training of a mixture of like a high, really, really fast intervals mixed with intervals of rest when you're doing your cardiovascular activity. And and do choice things like the stair climber or the elliptical that involve a lot more of your body as opposed to just sitting on a stationary bike and just moving your legs in a circular motion. Now, like I said, continue to lift weights because a lot of people have the misconception that lifting weights is just to build muscle and get bulky.
Right.
No, lifting weights elevates your metabolism and it gets your body in an anabolic state. It's great for getting lean and muscular, ready for the beach. So continue to do both. A 3-day split of each, so 3 days of lifting weights, 3 days of cardio, is perfect for most people, dude.
All right, we have one more. We have time for one more, and I'd like it to be Kelly because this is a very important question for our audience. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning, guys. The holidays, a big part of it is alcohol.
Right.
So I was wondering what kind of alcohol won't wreck your diet.
Well, stick to I get this question a lot from K-Rock listeners.
What about alcohol? What do I drink? What do I not drink?
Hey, listen, everybody deserves the right. You know, they work hard. They want to relax a little and unwind. When you're drinking, try to stick to distilled liquors, not beer and wine. Especially if you're going to drink heavily and mix it with
like
stuff.
Like what specifically?
Your gin, your whiskey. Your whiskey, your tequila, your rum, stuff like that. And not flavored ones because a lot of those can have added sugars and stuff like that. Just regular straight up distilled liquors and mix them with Diet Coke or club soda, stuff that doesn't have any calories or carbs in it. And that's your best route. That's the best way to go. Obviously, it's not ideal, but it's better than drinking, 15 beers or a couple bottles of wine or something like that.
Or one of those fruity drinks that's nothing but sugar.
That's the absolute worst. Don't drink a Midori Sour or a Long Island iced tea which literally has syrup in it. I mean, it's pure sugar. So.
Right. Thank you, Kelly. Please squeeze in Diana in Irvine because this is a significant problem in America that we need to somehow address.
All right, Diana, good morning.
Good morning. All right, I'm 5'10", 130. I don't really work out because I'm pretty decent shape. And I'm not going to lie, I like my boobs.
Right.
I don't want to lose them. How do we go about losing weight without losing the boobs?
Hey, listen, the fat dispersion, which your boobs are, they are big pockets of fat. Fat dispersion through your body is on a person-to-person basis. It's totally genetically decided. A lot of women can lose a ton of weight and keep their boobs. Some women lose 5 or 10 pounds, and it seems to come all from their boobs. There's no real way for me to tell you to gear your workout to keep your boobs. I will tell you, though.
Bad news,
I will
Mike.
Tell you there are a couple tips that can help you preserve that area. Work on inclined benches a lot, and it does help to tighten up the musculature up by your collarbone, by your clavicle, which will keep your boobs perkier and looking, more upright and nice and not keep them swinging around your navel, which is the last thing you want.
Diana is 5'10", 130 pounds. To me, it sounds like she doesn't need to lose weight. She maybe just needs to firm up.
That's exactly right. I mean, 5'10", 130, you sound like you're either perfect or really thin. So, don't work on losing weight. Just try to work on your body composition, which is,
A little bit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, eat frequently, eat smaller meals, and lift weights and do your cardio. You should be fine.
But if your boobs start going away, you're going to have to reverse the process.
And most likely we're going to have to see some pictures, Kevin and Dean and I, and they're going to have to be nude.
Otherwise,
how would
we know?
To give you a proper professional assessment.
Thank you, Diana.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you, Psycho Mike.
No problem.
Hi, this is Omar from the Kevin and Bean Morning Show. Before I went on the Psycho Body Plan, I was always tired, fat, fat, and fat. But then I got on the Psycho Body Plan.
And now, I can see through walls, lift 1,000,000 pounds, and my tastes like chocolate. Are you with me?
We're going to make a phone call to another K-Rock Street Team member coming up after the news at 9 and just give away tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. Their choice of which night they want to go to this weekend. How about that?
Earlier this morning, we gave away pit tickets for both nights. We're going to do that again tomorrow morning as well, besides.
858, KRQ FM passing Los Angeles. Ralph has joined us in the room for the final showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I say boil a rock for breakfast. Eat that. Just drink the rock broth. Then you'll be cut like me.
Rock broth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rock broth.
All right, rock broth.
Interesting news coming out of the Hollywood rumor mill today that actor James Bond, not actor James Bond, he's a character, actor Daniel Craig, of course, who plays James Bond, has signed a long-term deal with the producers of the 007 movies for the next 10 years.
Oh! 10 years?
Wow. However, Daniel Craig is denying those reports. Daniel, who's 39 years old, says he has signed on for the next film in the series, number 23. But he says after that, we'll have to wait and see. He's currently filming Bond 22 right now, so he's got this one and then another for sure. And then they'll probably renegotiate. So
they tend to fire you if they think you're too old, don't they?
They sure
Ralph?
Do. That happened to poor old Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Still looked pretty good as James Bond, in my opinion. He did four films. But the guy they should have fired, for Christ's sake, Roger Moore did seven movies. By the time he did his last one in 1985, he had literally Q make him a walker that had machine guns come out of the top of it and like a jetpack built into the bottom of it, where his oxygen tank was.
He wasn't quite young enough for the role?
I'm saying he wasn't spry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He right. was not a young man when all he was right. still playing James Bond. That's all I'm saying. Seven Bonds. That's a lot of Bonds.
That is.
Christian Bale.
Ah! Jeez, Mike.
Has another role in the works. He, of course, plays Batman. Mm-hmm. He was in Batman Begins and has The Dark Knight coming out next year.
And In My Dreams.
He is in talks to star as the grown-up John Connor in the next Terminator movie, T4.
Interesting. Hmm.
The premise of the film apparently is John Connor's all grown up and he finally takes what's left of the human race and rises in revolt against the intelligent machines who have taken over the Earth. So he battles the Terminators. Just like they were afraid he'd do in the first one.
That's right.
That's why they had to come back to kill him when he was young, because he rises right. up and battles the Terminator machines in the future.
Edward, now, this one surprised you. I've never seen any of the Terminator movies.
What? But,
oh, come on. He's Bean. That's not a movie for him.
But seriously, if you're going to choose one sci-fi action adventure series to see, the Terminator's got to be it.
That's right? not a Christian movie. Bale character that you're talking about is what relationship to the Arnold Schwarzenegger character from the original movies?
None relationship.
None?
No.
No.
Oh, and how about the chick who's in the new Fox series that debuts next month? What's her relationship to the
series?
She's
playing Sarah Connor, who is the mother of John Connor, played originally by Linda Hamilton in the first two films.
And who played the kid?
Okay. Edward Furlong in T2 and Nick Stahl in the most recent one, T3. He was opposite Claire Danes.
Okay.
The one where Schwarzenegger made his swan song as the Terminator.
Yeah. But I think I've missed too much to try to catch up at this point.
No, it's very simple. John Connor grows up to become the savior of the human race against the intelligent machines who take over Earth. In the first movie, Schwarzenegger goes back in time to kill his mother, Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor, so that she never has John Connor. That's why she goes back in time.
So Schwarzenegger's a bad guy. He's trying to prevent the guy who saves the universe from being born?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
And his best friend, John Connor's best friend in the future, comes back to protect John's mother from the Terminator.
Okay.
You dig?
I'm with you.
John's mother ends up sleeping with his best friend from the future, and that's who knocks her up.
Okay.
So his best friend in the future is actually his dad.
And who's the guy that can paint the future?
That's on Heroes.
Oh. Okay, so Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father?
No.
I'm confused.
Why is Ricardo Montalban all buff then?
That's Wrath of Khan. Then in the second one, the good Terminator, played by Schwarzenegger, comes back to protect young John Connor, played by Edward Furlong, from the evil Terminator, played by Robert Patrick, who comes back to snuff out John Connor as a teenager.
And he does that by choosing either the red pill or the blue pill.
Oh, Jesus. Never why mind. Bother talking to you people? I just don't know why I bother.
Everybody dies at 32?
Another Elizabeth Berkley story in the news.
Yes.
Two stories in 1 week. How does that happen? What?
That does seem odd.
I mentioned a couple days ago she will be starring as David Caruso's baby mama on CSI Miami. Now looks like she has the inside track to host a new reality series on the Bravo network. Called Step Up and Dance.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Where the show will have contestants doing various forms of dance, including ballet, ballroom, burlesque, and Broadway.
Okay.
And then the best person wins something.
I have a very close friend who went to see the So You Think You Can Dance live show last week when it came through town.
No.
Yeah. You know, they go out on tour like the American Idol singers. The dancers go out on tour after their season.
Okay.
And she went to see them. Yes.
Wow. That's horrible.
Yeah, that's rough.
But here's some good news regarding reality television. You ready for Who Wants to Marry a U.S. Citizen?
Oh, yeah. This one looks good.
I'm not kidding.
Yes.
Marusa Media, producers of the independently distributed reality show, have announced Who Wants to Marry a U.S. Citizen. Similar to the dating game, their press release says, one bachelorette, a U.S. citizen seeking a spouse, asks three bachelors, immigrants with temporary visas, various questions. Towards the end of the show, she decides which one she would marry.
That, to me, sounds like it would run afoul of immigration laws about not getting married for fraudulent reasons.
But she really will fall in love with
them.
They'll
be in love, Dean.
That's what happens.
Every time one of these shows comes along, they end up happy forever.
Now, the show makes it clear that it doesn't guarantee marriage or legal status for either contestant.
All right.
But it will pay for a wedding party and honeymoon should a marriage result from the show.
I had a friend who got married and then she left him immediately because she wanted a green card.
She's a nice lady, your friend.
Exact same thing.
Good woman. Your friend.
No, my friend's
woman
the
who
dude.
Did that. Oh,
the girl's the one that did that. But this sounds like it's a game show to make that happen. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
awesome, bad. But awesome.
That looks great. I can't wait. Speaking of which, did you see The Bachelor, the latest Bachelor?
No.
Got all the way to the end of the show, unbeknownst to producers. Got the ring, the whole nine yards. He had to choose between the two women.
Right.
Told them both he wasn't that interested.
No
Cut
kidding.
Them both loose. How pissed off are the producers of that show?
That's awesome.
What did he just say? What did he just say? Can someone check their audio? What did he just say?
I said
I don't want to. I don't want to marry either of you.
That's great.
I gotta go now. See ya.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Funny. Today's celebrity birthdays: Ozzy Osbourne, The Wizard of Oz. Ozzy.
Oz, the HBO show.
No. 59 years old today. Daryl Hannah. By the way, see they're doing a new version of Wizard of Oz over there on Sci-Fi Channel? Tin Man?
Yeah,
I did
see that.
Kind of a sci-fi version of Wizard
weird.
Of Oz. Did you catch the Battlestar Galactica movie, Razor, by the way?
I recorded it. I haven't watched it. Is it good?
So good.
No, what is that?
So good.
What is that?
It's a two-hour movie, like a separate episode from the story of the...
Fantastic.
What is it? Actually, it is. It's the backstory of the Pegasus. Remember that second Battlestar they find when they're out in space? It's the crew of the Pegasus and what they went through to get up to meeting the Battlestar Galactica.
I used to think Battlestar Galactica was just another one of those sci-fi shows and it's all for geeks. That's a great show.
It is an outstanding show. And it'll be back next year sometime, we hope. Daryl Hannah is 47 years old today, as is actress Julianne Moore. Brendan Fraser turns 39. Holly Marie Combs from Charmed turns 34. I wish that show was still on. I'd like to reprise my role as DJ. The DJ at the club.
They're still talking about it.
Who would introduce various and sundry bands who would come by and perform at the P3, which was the name of the club.
We need to get that audio.
It was high red bands, too. It was like, ladies and gentlemen, local H. I mean, it was that sort of thing, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dishwalla!
Yeah,
there you go.
That was one of my famous lines. And the other one is, put your hands together for the Cranberries.
Yeah!
Those are my two big roles on Charmed. Look them up. You can find them on YouTube, I'm sure.
We'll try and find them.
I'm pretty famous over there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Should we congratulate our winner? Should we announce who we called and left a message for?
Yes. Maria Gallardo from Montebello.
Wow.
Just got tickets for K-Rock's Almost to Christmas. She's a street team member and has been for a little while. And we're just drawing people at random this week and giving them tickets because you have to be a street team member to buy the tickets on Thursday night when they go on sale.
Right.
I have just been informed that those tickets that we just offered her are pit tickets. How about that? Of her choice of nights for either night number one Saturday or night number two on Sunday for the K-Rock Almost to Christmas 2007. This would be great, though, by the way, if you could leave phone numbers where we could get a hold of you during the morning show in the event that we actually want to call and give you tickets and talk to you. So if you would do that for us, thank you.
Time for Bean's blog.
Oh, already?
Every once in a while, we go through Bean's blog. And for those of you that don't listen very often, Bean is a guy who does not get interested in the things that most of us are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like to go out and party. He doesn't like friends. Like all of the big stuff in your life, is what you find interesting. But what Bean finds interesting is the just the tiny minutiae that has really nothing to do with the rest of the world.
Absolutely.
Another way to phrase that would be a guy like you, Kevin, would be interested in just a few things, a very finite list of things. A guy like me interested in a much wider list of things.
Sure, yes,
but
that's exactly
a much
exactly
wider
it.
List of things that nobody else cares about.
That's correct. You're alone in yours is yes. the problem. So it's time for Bean's Blog.
Bean's Blog, Bean's Blog, Bean's Blog. Bean's Blog, Bean's Blog, Bean's Blog. Bean's Blog, Bean's Blog, no one gives a fuck.
Oh, how dare you.
November 29, 2007. This is an outrage, is the title.
Oh, what happened?
Must be big, right? Must
yes.
be something really important.
It's stronglywordedletter.com if you want to play the Kevin Bean home game and follow along at home. Stronglywordedletter.com.
It's a picture of a Big Gulp machine from a 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
This is the outrage.
What happened?
Well, you're about to find out why I was so outraged, Lisa. Yeah, I think you'll agree with me.
Here's the Big Gulp machine at my favorite 7-Eleven store taken yesterday. Now, really, aren't you already out?
You took a picture of a Big
yes.
Gulp machine?
Yes.
Well, sometimes it's nice to have visuals to go along with the story, sure.
Maybe it's not a big deal to you, but to me, the Big Gulp machine is like the sun to a plant or a mother's bosom to a baby.
Bean.
He's talking about a drink machine at a 7-Eleven.
His favorite 7-Eleven.
It's the source.
Enjoy Big Gulps.
It's the source of one of life's greatest joys, which is, well, Big Gulps. But now there's trouble in paradise.
Oh.
See where it says Manzanita Soul? Yeah, that wasn't there the day before. It seems to be some sort of apple soda. What I do know is that in addition to the large panel of advertising that went in, the store also replaced the cherry cola fountain drink option of the Big Gulp machine with this new stuff. No cherry Coke, no peace, no right? Cherry Coke is, along with its beautiful twin sister, Vanilla Coke, what made America great.
Thank you.
Now, you understand
Indeed.
That here is a human being.
An adult.
And the biggest thing in his life is the Big Gulp machine at 7-Eleven and how it's changed.
Not the biggest thing, but of enough concern that I felt the need to write a strongly worded letter, yes.
To add considerable insult to an almost inhuman amount of injury. This new Mexican soda is made by Pepsi, the devil's pee.
Who's with me? Who's
no,
with me?
That's the devil's stupid.
Pee. You know how I feel about Pepsi and their products. You guys know. Come
all
on, this isn't the first time you've heard about
products.
This.
All their products. Every single Pepsi product.
If
you
Pepsi
hate.
Makes it, it's automatically bad. Yes, it's the fruit of a rotten tree. Exactly.
He goes on, why not dirt instead of cake? How about hate instead of love? How about rats instead of dogs? Do I need to go on?
You're a racist, Bean.
And he goes on and on and on about this ridiculous thing.
Because you don't want the Hispanics to have their drink.
Has nothing to do with that. I don't think I even mentioned. The problem is that it's replacing Cherry Coke, which is the nectar of the gods, and it's replacing it with a Pepsi product, which is just offensive. Do you want them to ban football and only allow soccer in this country? Is that what you want, Kevin? Because that's the direction we're heading. If choices like this are made and good men stand by and do nothing.
Bean, does it occur to you that no one was drinking the Cherry Coke and that's why they replaced it?
No, that doesn't occur to me. That it was strictly a business decision, you
yeah.
mean?
And this is a drink that a lot of people will drink.
Now, here's the part
that
fascinates
me. I don't know
that
I want to live in an America where that's the case, Lisa. I'm sorry.
Bean's Blog, Bean's Blog, no one gives a fuck.
Here's the thing that fascinates me. Bean has always said that there are a lot of people who read it and appreciate it. He gets feedback that encourages him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do. That is true.
This time I did a little something different, and I went through some of the messages that people sent back.
Oh, they post their opinions.
These are
comments,
people
yeah.
who read this drivel, are excited enough about it, or energy, they have enough energy on the topic that they sit down at their computer and email a response to Bean.
I can't wait to hear.
I think I hate those people more than the originator of the material. Chris writes, wow, do I feel you, brother? Pepsi is awful. I won't even go into any Pepsi-associated restaurants. Taco Bell, Subway, Quiznos, etc.
Oh, my
God.
This is
exactly what I'm talking about. There's a groundswell of anti-Pepsi support out there, Kevin, that you might not even have known about if you hadn't looked at my blog.
It's ridiculous.
There's like 4 pages of comments from people who read this, and it really struck a chord. And now I know why Bean gets that feedback that he seems to be getting, how fun it is. So here's November 23rd, 2007, a picture of his dog.
Okay.
which is about half the pages.
Tater Tot Friday?
Tater Tot?
It's Tater Tot Friday.
Okay.
Bean puts a picture up. The full-size picture. It's almost a full page. Look, Lisa.
Oh, wow.
Mike, here with me on Tater Tot Friday is the most awesome day of the year, right?
Listen,
of the week.
Your blog is wiggity-whack most of the time. Tater Tot Friday rips because Tater Tot
okay,
is
you stop talking.
Gorgeous dog.
If A, all bulldogs are cute, and B, Tater Tot is a bulldog, then C, Tater Tot is the cutest dog in the world. Now,
when you read it like that with that inflection, it does sound a little gay.
Come on! There's no other way to read that. It's a picture of your dog, and that's what it says.
Is this guy gay or what?
It's funny because when I read it in my mind as I wrote it, it sounded very heterosexual.
No, nothing's ever sounded less heterosexual. So then you go to the next page and there's a picture of another bulldog and it says, bonus points. I ran into this 3-year-old named Chunk while walking down on Broadway Avenue recently. Fortunately, his owner allowed me to take a picture.
Room's starting to spin real fast because of because of gayness.
Full page photo of Chunk.
Well,
I was sharing a photo of Chunk. That's all. I thought my readers who like bulldogs would enjoy seeing another one.
Here are some of the comments, and I hate these people more than Bean. Diane writes, double the fun. Tater Tot and Chunk. Are you kidding me?
Gayer than gay. And when I say gay, I mean homo.
Come on, it's just
these
pictures of dogs.
Are the comments left for being on his blog. L.A. writes, it's cute overload today.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding, Lisa.
No. It's hard to argue with that, though.
Someone named Me writes, wow, you must have had some kind of feeling that I really needed a good pick-me-up today. Yesterday was a horrible day.
Cut, print. Gay.
But seriously, seeing not only the most beautiful dog, Tater Tot, and then the added bonus of Chuck helped put the first smile on my face since yesterday. You may not think it's much, but seriously, this has made my day.
Oh,
he's a homo.
People, do not encourage being
Angie
like that.
Angie writes, I'm jealous of all the cuteness that surrounds you.
Oh, my God.
Bean, this has to make you want to throw up.
Come on.
The whole world's gone gay.
You've got to write back to these people and say, I thought I was a loser.
Look, everybody appreciates hearing that their dog is considered cute by other people. Everybody, if somebody comes up and says, hey, that's an awesome dog, you feel good about that because you love your dog. And you're happy to see other people love your dog, too. That's all that's about.
It's a double dose of cuteness.
That's what I'm saying. These people, double the fun. It's cute overload.
What sounds like to me, maybe good news for me, Kevin, what's happening here is you no longer are full of scorn and hate for me, the author of the blog. Now it's the people who read it and comment on it. Those people you hate even worse than me.
Yes, there's plenty of hate for you still because you generated it. But these people that are responding, it's cute overload. Come on. Those are the people that should be just kicked right out of the country. Right?
Yeah.
Too many people here. Thin the herd.
Yes.
The people that respond to Bean's blog need to go.
I have no trouble with that.
And we're out of time. I don't have time for the pictures that Bean took of the ice cream in his grocery store. I don't have time for that. Pictures of the ice cream containers in the grocery store.
Well, I was concerned that pumpkin
don't
ice cream hadn't appeared. All right. What?
Bean's blog. No one gives a fuck.
I guess that's the answer to my question. What is it you're actually trying to say here?
That's now what I'm trying to say. It's time to take your phone call.
We're sorry. You missed your dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
What do you do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. Pick up the phone, give us a call, get on the air, and today you win. Hey, how great is this? 50 free songs on iTunes, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, very
nice.
Cool.
I'm going to say that's almost a $50 value, so that's what you get on Kevin Amin's What to Do, Nephew.
All right, let's begin with Josh in Glendale. Good morning, Josh.
What to do, nephew?
What to do?
What to do?
Kevin, Lisa May, Ralph, Psycho.
Hi.
What's going on?
This phone call has been a long time coming. I usually put up with Bean's gayness, douchebagness.
Well, hold on a sec. What's the problem here, Josh?
Shut up. You shut up right now.
Okay. All right. I'm listening. I'm listening.
I heard the Rachel Nichols interview before T2, and I said, okay, all right. Maybe he was just nervous. Wait, why is the dollar so low?
I blew that one. I agree. I botched that. I botched the interview.
All right. Maybe he was nervous. She's hot, whatever. Then I heard the freaking blog this morning.
Yeah.
God damn you.
Yeah.
God, she's turning on me.
It's like you're raping my ears when I listen to that, Bean. I swear to God, right? No. No, Bean. No, stop, Bean. All right? Stop it. Stop it now, Bean. Damn it! Stop it
okay.
now, please.
In my defense, the blog is on...
Shut up, okay? And your
okay,
defense,
but...
No, what? What?
It's what? On the internet. I'm not the one who started reading from it on the radio. You can blame your man Kevin for that.
No, see, that is a public service announcement.
Thank
that
you.
Is like the search yep. for doing that. Bean, damn you! Damn you, Bean! Okay, seriously, the only way
okay.
you can make up for this, the only way you can make up for this is you need to give me a list of addresses and information of everybody that responds to your blog.
That's what I'm saying.
I can personally go to their houses and kill them in their sleep.
Okay? Okay, I think you may be exaggerating a little bit.
No, I am not. But... Kevin, all right. Michael, Mike, Ralph, Lisa, am I exaggerating?
It doesn't sound like it, no.
Okay, we got to move on. Thank you for the call, Josh. I'm glad you're a fan of the show and the blog, and I very much appreciate hearing your support.
All right, let's go to Nadine, who's calling from Inglewood. Good morning, Nadine.
Inglewood. What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do?
Okay, the holiday giving spirit, right? Mm-hmm. I send money to KCET, Fred Jordan Mission, AIDS Project LA. I'm in a giving mood. I'm at the laundromat yesterday watching my game. There's a couple comes in. They have three, like, washers. Oh, we don't have any money for soap. Can you give us some soap, laundry soap? They have, like, one 50-cent box of Tide. I give them soap, the drying sheets, softener.
Mm-hmm.
Half an hour later, I go outside. They have a brand new damn Kia Sorento. They went to the Starbucks next door. They have.
You didn't say what I thought you said there, Nadine.
No.
No.
She wouldn't say that. Of course not. No.
Okay. You got conned. I mean, they looked at you and you were a big, fat, easy mark.
I'm a dumbass. I have another friend named Maverick. He's like, guys, I told you, don't give people stuff. They're working. They're your age. They should be working just like you're working. But
yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, that happens.
The holidays is no time for charity, Nadine. That's the policy of the Kevin and Bean Show. The holidays is no time to look out for your fellow man. Seriously, you should turn your back on anyone who needs anything at this time of year.
I got to tell you, we do our Christmas charity every year, and yesterday was the big day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody came. They brought their gift wrap. We found two different groups of people stealing stuff out of there. We had an extras table where if you didn't quite have enough for your family, two different groups of people.
Oh,
really?
My gosh.
Yeah.
Hey, let's try John in Anaheim. He's on line 5. Apparently, he was with us on Friday down in Fullerton for the Miss Double D pageant and coronation.
Hey, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great, great show you guys put on Friday at the Slide Bar. Great show.
You were inside, I hope.
I was in the front row, man.
Oh, good for you.
You guys were out of control. Ralph was up there, looked all nervous, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about those 9 girls this year, John? You saw them up close and personal. What a group, huh?
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. You guys never really done anything like that in the past. You guys are going to, I hope, do that every year.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Oh, we enjoyed
right
it.
Going on.
We're going to make it bigger and bigger, yeah.
Although the venue was kind of small. What was going on with that?
Yeah, you think? It's a great place, the Slide Bar Cafe in Cantina, is that what it's called? I forget. Rock and Roll Cafe, right. It's in Fullerton. It's a fantastic place. But Lightning remembered that it held 450, but there's actually 2 rooms.
Yeah.
So we weren't aware of that until we got there.
So our room didn't really hold that many people.
Right.
John, let me give you some good news. And for people who especially weren't with us on Friday, is that now, 72 hours later, photos are up at krock.com. You can go and see pictures of all the girls in their swimsuits. You can see, Petros and Money were down there. You can see some of the talent competition up there. There are a lot of really, really good photos. You just go to Kevin and Bean and look up Double D, and you'll find the stuff. It's well worth checking out.
We'll do that. And also, video is coming soon, I'm sure. Yes, Lightning?
Yeah, rough edit is done, and the video will be up probably by 6 p.m. tonight.
Fantastic.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Daniel in Orange. Good morning, Daniel. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Daniel?
What's going on?
Well, to make it short and simple, I'm actually an Army recruiter. And we walk around, in uniform all day. And people are like the dumbest.
Okay.
And they come up to you and they're like, are you in the Army? And I'm like, no. And this is before Halloween. And I'm like, I'm actually practicing for Halloween. They're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. Make it short and simple. This guy actually enlisted. He believed that if he signed a piece of paper, he would get an authentic military uniform to wear for Halloween.
What?
He wore it, but he was actually wearing it at basic training.
So okay. You're saying you tricked a guy into joining up for the military?
I didn't trick him. If he didn't realize after signing his name 200 times and initially 1,000 times that he was joining the military and he was in a military compound signing a piece of paper, that's not my fault.
He thought all that paperwork was just to get a Halloween costume? I find that very difficult to believe.
Exactly. I have no clue. I have Daniel, the stupidest of people.
Don't put people like that in our military. That's not good for us.
Thank you for the call. I have trouble believing that Daniel's an Army recruiter.
I do,
you guys?
Too.
Because
yeah.
he's like, and then he was like, you
well,
mean like that?
Effing yeah. shaky on every level.
Army recruiters are some of the most compelling and sharp-witted people you'll
yeah,
talk to.
Yeah, he didn't
they
sound
have,
like
they're
that.
They're motivating, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Christopher real quick in L.A., I guess. Christopher's on line 3. Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Ooh, and by the way, our winner of the tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas is on the line, too. We'll talk to her real quick before we go, too.
Oh,
but,
great.
Chris, first, you're our last call. Go ahead.
All right, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
I was outraged to see a Chubby Girl store in the mall, and I went inside. I asked the manager that, you know you're encouraging fat girls to stay fat?
Yep. Because they're selling clothes for bigger sizes? They're encouraging girls to be fat?
Yeah, I mean, I asked her, why don't you just call the store McFatties, you know?
Well, it's a good question. Don't get me wrong. It's a good question.
Towards a division of Hot Topic, which has clothes for regular size girls.
Right.
But there are women who can't fit into those clothes. And Christopher, it sounds like you think they should just stay home.
I don't know that.
They should never go out again.
It seems like they should be able to find clothes that they like that make
seems
them
like,
look
I
good.
Know,
I mean, I'm not in the Spark school of thinking where you take pictures of them naked. But I'm just saying.
Right.
They ought,
let me,
be able
let me ask Christopher.
They
Christopher,
don't force
is your,
feed them.
No.
Is your thought they should be required to stay home until they lose enough to wait to wear regular size girl clothes? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, stay home or you like Psycho Mike. Hit the gym.
Okay.
Hang
all
up right. on Christopher. Okay. I hate him.
No, that's a good tip.
Hang up
all
on
right.
him.
Stay home and work out.
All right. Let's talk to Maria on the super secret hotline. Maria Gallardo, I think, who we called and could not get a hold of a few minutes ago, but she's on the line with us now. Hi, Maria.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Maria.
What's up? Hi,
me. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm sorry. I'm just having trouble. I'm dropping my daughter in her car seat. I was so excited to hear my name this morning.
Well, you are a street team member, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I am.
And that means that you get tickets for K-Rock's Almost Christmas 2007.
Thank you guys so much. I'm so excited.
Nicely done.
Now, is she getting one night, both nights, her choice of nights? What did we come up with for this?
I don't remember what the answer to that was. I believe it's one night. I believe it's in the pit, and I don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
So that's the kind of info we have.
Oh, she gets to pick her own
she
night.
Gets to pick. Okay.
Yes.
She gets to pick. Fantastic. All right, which night do you want to go to? Let me run it by you here real quick, Maria. Saturday night is Linkin Park, Angels and Airwaves, Avenged Sevenfold, Bad Religion, Paramore, Rise Against, Serj Tankian. Sunday night is Muse, Feist, Jimmy Eat World, Modest Mouse, The Shins, Silver Sun Pickup, Spoon, and Kenny Rogers. Which night do you like?
I'd like night 2.
Sorry, I thought you said Kenny Rogers.
He did.
He's not playing. Not
maybe
playing
that's a misprint. Maybe yeah. I meant Spoon. I'm sorry about
not
that.
Not playing.
All right, night number 2. You're there. You're going to be there. And we are very excited for you. So thanks a lot for being a street team member. How long have you been a member of the street team?
Oh, only for about maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Look at that.
How about
you
that?
Got lucky.
Listening to you guys a lot longer than that.
Well, thank you for listening. Right. And thank you for being a street team member. All right.
Thank you.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details. And street team member is what you have to be to buy tickets on Thursday night. Don't forget about that. This Thursday night, the 6th, 5 o'clock, you can buy tickets for night number 1. 6 o'clock, you can buy tickets for night number 2.
Okay.
That way you don't have to pick a night when you try to go for tickets. You can go for
there
both.
There you go.
And you got to be a street team member of K-Rock. It's free. You fill it out. It's very quick. We'll
yes.
send you a code that you will need to buy the tickets.
I want to thank Ali Larder for joining us on the program today. She, of course, one of the stars of Heroes. Big, big episode tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC Channel 4. It'll be the last Heroes we see for a while. And apparently, somebody dies.
Aww.
I just hope it's not her.
Two people fall, they say. Two
yeah.
heroes will fall. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We got Ralph's Video Vault, a movie called Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
All-time classic.
Strong. We got McLovin.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
Chris
no kidding. Class,
yeah, the guy that plays McLovin because Superbad is coming out on DVD tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Love that movie. We, of course, have tickets for the K-Rock.
Is
Almost
it
Christmas.
One of your 10 favorite movies of all time ever?
Could be.
Wow.
Could
okay.
be. As you know, I have a fluid top 10.
Yes, you do.
It's the last 10 movies you saw.
We have tickets to give away to our street team members as well, and we have a game tomorrow to win pit tickets.
Cool.
So that's all coming up tomorrow. And we're going to talk to the OC Water District spokesperson, who's going to tell you people in Orange County why it's a good idea that you're going to be drinking out of your toilets.
Yay!
So that's all coming up tomorrow.
And it's not just your dogs this time. It's you, too, the humans,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. I look forward to that. Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including The White Stripes. Also, the new one from Jack Johnson called If I Had Eyes that we world premiered for you last week here on this show. Some House of Pain, Serj Tankian, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and more coming up on KRQFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.